Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is the 14th day of January 2009, Wednesday. And yesterday we told you Bernanke said that more bank bailouts were needed. Well, today it's pretty much going to be, I give it 48 hours until Citigroup folds. Citigroup's death throes may take Pandit too. You see, Paulson also told you after you handed over $700 billion, which really equals to about, what is it, like $7.5-8 trillion is what Bloomberg's reporting. He was still going to close some banks. Some of them weren't going to make it. And Citigroup, it's over. I mean, it was less than 6 months ago that they started talking about that they were going to have problems. And then I think it was 2 weeks after that that they said they were going to need the bailout. Then these packages were put forth. Some people in Congress stood up to them at first. And then they were threatened with martial law and bamboozled by Obama. You know, some of these guys were actually told by Obama that if he was elected, he would make sure that this money is going to go towards mortgages and the people. Well, I don't see that happening. Let's read some of this. It's off MSNBC.com. As Citigroup nears the end of the decade-long experiment, see, the bank is an experiment now. Your money is an experiment. It's funny to them. To create one-stop shopping for financial services, its chief executive, Vikram Pandit, may be running out of time to turn the company around. It'll probably be absorbed by Chase Manhattan. Give Rockefellers a little bit more power. I could definitely see that happening. CNBC's Charles Gasparno reported Wednesday that Pandit is coming under increasing pressure from the bank's giants board and from the federal government for quick results. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're going to get quick results by taking your money. So expect some banks to close this week. I expect that. That, you know, that'll probably put just enough fear into the Congress that they'll pass another bailout. And only Representatives Paul and Kucinich will dare speak out against it. In truth, you know, I'm not giving everybody credit. There were a few others that did speak out against the bailout. But when Kucinich, you know what? I want you to pull up the Kucinich. The Federal Reserve is as federal Express. That's just a golden couscous line right there. By the way, in the second hour, top of the second hour, we're going to have Michael Rivera of WhatReallyHappened.com on. We're going to be doing that via webcam, so all you PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers can tune in and see that live via the web. You know, a little later on, I guess I'll introduce the story now. I want to talk about human microchips, and I've been talking about this for quite some time. But one of the positions I've taken is that I don't think it's going to be like, oh, they're going to put microchips in you forcibly, at least not at first. I don't think they're going to line everybody up. Oh, here's your chip. They're going to make it fashionable. It's the cool thing to do. And I've always thought that the easiest way to do this was to go after your children, your kids, the teenagers, people like myself who are into technology, who like to sit down and play Halo or Mortal Kombat or video games in general, the video game generation. It's my generation. And I always thought that the next gen systems would try and incorporate microchip technology. And this was reported, what was this, December? So over a month ago, I noticed this. So I just remembered it today and I wanted to print it out. Interested in microchip implants for gaming? Sega's Yu Suzuki is. Venerated Sega developer Yu Suzuki, you know, the guy who did Virtua Cop, hang on, changed the way people played. His titles have been revolutionary regarding how players interact with arcade games and arcade game cabinets. But Suzuki thinks there's more that can be done, like arcade game players getting chipped, as in getting some sort of motion-controlled implant. It'll be more than just motion control, by the way. It'll read your thoughts, at least somewhat. While interviewing Suzuki for Arcade Mania, he told us about the interest in new ways of interacting with games. In medicine, you have artificial hearts, or people that have some sort of chip in their body to be able to keep track of vital signs. So it's a scary thing, but not that scary when you want a game. All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burma, sitting in all week. Please go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we were talking earlier about Citigroup, and it appears that they're already merging with Morgan Stanley. So, I mean, it's already dead. The question is, when is it going to get to the point when people start running on their banks and utter collapse is imminent? I mean, Paulson told you more banks were going to go under after the bailout. And I guess after the bailout, WAMU did go under. It might have been a little bit before. I can't remember. WAMU was bought up. I guess you haven't seen any really faces of banks and your money being taken outright yet. But it's really being taken because we're supposed to pay back this bailout, which isn't $700 billion. It's really in the trillions and trillions of dollars. If you want to understand that more intricately, I suggest you listen to the Chudovsky interview that Jones did a couple weeks ago. I know it's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Bernanke, CNN Money yesterday, more bank bailouts needed. So, again, I predict more mergers will happen, more banks will go under, and they'll take more of your money. But you know what? President Bush says this is not the main thing that the administration should be worrying about. The most important job I have had and the most important job the next president is going to have is to protect the American people from another attack. And, of course, that was Bush yesterday on Larry King, but I have other video of it all over, where he basically says that the next administration is going to do the same thing. Don't worry. Newsweek is promoting how Obama shouldn't give up any of the executive powers that were given to him under the Bush and Cheney administration. Don't worry, we can trust the Obama administration. And less than a week out from the end of the Bush administration, official, Guantanamo detainee was tortured. And this is out of Fox News, by the way. Fox News is now reporting that there's actually torture going on at Guantanamo Bay. Really, Fox? It seems like you're only about 7 years behind the curve. But, of course, you know, they spin the article. They needed to torture him because he was involved in the September 11th plots. I hate to tell you, but honestly, your buddy Cheney there, the guy who's supposedly the second commander-in-chief, no, he was involved at a captain's-type level in the 9/11 attacks. It's just unbelievable. All right, I said I would play that clip of Kucinich calling the Federal Reserve nothing more than Federal Express. See, some people are getting hip to their tricks, and Dennis Kucinich is one of them. Let's play the clip.
In 1913, the money power of the country was taken away from the people by constitutional privilege. It belongs with the Congress, but it was given up in the Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express, but yet it has the power to determine the direction of use of money in our economy.
All right, there you go. Dennis, bravo. I really wish we could get the couscous on. I mean, he's on the floor. He's the one saying, you know what, we don't need the Federal Reserve, and this is part of the problem. Why are we only talking about just giving bankers money? That doesn't seem like a great idea. No, I don't think it seems like a great idea either, Dennis. I think it's a morbid and terrible idea. In some of the more mainstream news I thought I'd go over today, court okays sex between teachers and 18-year-old girls. Now, what's the problem with this? Well, let's just start off by saying it's a huge problem. You know, when you get into college, I guess it gets a little more blurry. I mean, these are 18-year-olds. They're adults when you meet them, but these are kids that you've known sometimes since they were in kindergarten in smaller school districts, okay? So at the very least, I think that teachers that, you know, have affairs with their students 18 or otherwise should be fired. And under 18, they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I don't think that's too much to ask. It happens a lot more than you would think. And now that the court has okayed, this is out of the AP, Washington State law does not bar teachers from having consensual sex with 18-year-old students. An appeals court ruled Tuesday in dismissing a case against a former high school teacher. Unbelievable. Of course, the teacher had three kids, you know, and a wife. But no big deal. No big deal he's having sex with 18-year-old students. Come on. And chances are that this was taking place before she was 18.
Just my two cents. We're going to take your calls after 30 minutes, and then remember, at the top of the second hour, we're going to have Michael Rivero on PrisonPlanet.tv via webcam. I really want to get his take on the Obama staff administrations or staff picks, because his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, is calling for a draft. He's openly talked about this service, 18 to 25, 3 months of basic training, 2 years mandatory service. It's going to be featured in the new Obama picture that's coming up, you know, working hard on right now. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to call him too much of an Obama cheerleader, but obviously he was for him in the election. And yesterday I heard him on his radio program saying that he was already unhappy with a lot of the picks. Yeah, me too. He's keeping Robert Gates on. He's talked about putting more troops into Afghanistan. You see, it's just going to be a redistribution of troops from Iraq into Afghanistan. That's all it's going to be. Our presence in the Middle East isn't going to go anywhere. Man, on a global scale. But you know what people are really paying attention to? They're not paying attention to this, you know, geopolitical strategy that's, you know, going on through our banking systems and through our military apparatus. They're paying attention to the fact that some girl is selling her virginity online for $3.7 million. And you know what? I'm going to talk about it for a second because, number one, it's absolutely ridiculous. The girl's not doing anything illegal. It's going to be held at the Bunny Ranch, so everything's sanctioned. But first of all, she's 22. Now, do you really believe that a 22-year-old virgin is going to be the type of girl to sell it on so I don't know what auctioning network it is, for $3.7 million? No, she's probably a liar. And you know what? The guy that pays, you know, $4 or $5 million for it gets what he deserves. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It shows you how degraded the entire society is when that's one of the top stories. And yeah, she's being bashed in the media, but just the fact that somebody's willing to pay millions and millions of dollars for that should let you know that there are sickos out there that are willing to pay even more for child snuff films, or even worse, you know, to be with a child, Barney Frank, you know, and then still stay into Congress and push the bailout. You know what? Barney Frank really does need to be exposed more and more and more. I mean, when you're running an underage male brothel out of your home through your prostitute boyfriend, and then you threaten Congress when it becomes public that if they don't back off, you're going to out everybody. I mean, I don't think this is the type of guy we should be listening to. I don't think we should be listening to the types of guys and administrations that plant other, you know, male prostitutes in the White House, James Guckert, James Gannon, and have them pose as members of the media, fake right-wing blogs under assumed names, and then, you know, be on 4 or 5, you know, a.m. tours of the White House. What's going on there? Well, it's pretty obvious what's going on there. But the public can see that on the mainstream. It can be on, you know, CNN headline news and in the news, but, you know, it's a big joke. No one can put two and two together. Boy, those reporters are pretty dumb when they want to be, huh? You know, that's why we need your help here. And right now, Tyranny Crusher 1 is over the $50,000 mark on eBay. This is the last day that you're going to be able to bid on it. I think it's about 13 hours away from total doneness. Now, there's probably going to be a lot of fake bids on there because people think they're funny. You know, people want to hurt this operation. And, you know, the guys that are running aren't the most savvy on eBay, so they don't know how to just immediately block somebody when it's obviously a fake bid. You know, if you've got 2 rating or a 1 rating, you're not for real. We know that. But there are plenty of people with, you know, ratings in the hundreds that are bidding on this. And we hope that you guys can take it to the next level. We'd like to hire some more staff here at the InfoWars office. We'd like to put on more programs. We'd like to make more movies. But it's a short-staffed operation, and the money bomb really helped. I mean, the difference in the two offices here are night and day. I mean, night and day from what they were only 6 months ago when I first, you know, came down to Austin, Texas. So, you know, help us get to that next level. Tyranny Crusher 1 on sale on eBay. Right now, it's your last chance to bid on it today. Tyranny Crusher 1. Somebody's going to get it. Somebody's going to get the signed Tyranny Crusher 1. It's going to make a great mantelpiece. It really is a piece of history. This story also caught my eye today, man, really blitzing through the news in the first 20 minutes. Courts try to decide what to do with Manuel Noriega. Now, remember Manuel Noriega, 26-year CIA veteran, helped us ship in the cocaine from Panama and South America, that guy. And then as soon as it started going public, what did we do? We went in, we got him, we treated him like the enemy. As soon as he tried to really get under the grips of United States control, he held a couple summits with other South American leaders. And basically was saying, you know, how can we get away from these guys? What can we do? And the U.S. didn't like that, and now he's been demonized. And he's been held for about 16 months longer than than his sentence commanded. But they're asking what should they do with him? Well, number one, they probably never want to let this guy speak in a public forum again because he knows too many of the American players. I'm surprised they haven't killed him. He's 74 years old. In fact, have we ever seen Noriega on television ever in any type of trial or hearing since they got him in the 80s? You know, I'd love someone to call me in and call into the show and let me know because I don't think we have. Noriega was captured in Panama by U.S. military forces, completing his prison sentence for drug trafficking and money laundering in September of 2007, but remains in prison until the courts can decide where he should go. So many people want a piece of him. But they don't want him to openly speak about working with U.S. intelligence to ship in cocaine. I'm sure that's not on the agenda. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Berman, sitting in all week. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. The hour, we have Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com, and later in the show, we have Ray McGovern. You know, I want to get McGovern's take on Robert Gates sticking around for at least another year and the movement of troops over into Afghanistan. So, you know, I could see McGovern almost being pro that move of putting troops in Afghanistan, buying into the fact that we have to have more of a stronghold there, but I think we should be getting out of the Middle East altogether. I don't know about you folks. I think anybody with half a brain who realizes what's really going on in that region of the world, them trying to build a Eurasian Union, much like the North American Union here, only they're trying to get the North American Union, I guess, by semi-consent over here, not much consent, and really they're taking it by conquering it over there, by force. All right, I promise I'd take some callers, so let's do it. Let's go to Ted in Los Angeles. Ted, what's on your mind?
Good.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, Ted, what's on? Yes, you're on.
Oh, sorry about that. Hey, have you seen the January's edition of Newsweek where it says the new global elite and it has Barack Obama in the center of that portrait?
No.
You know, I was looking at the cover there. I was looking for maybe some Masonic occultic symbols because, you know, after all, the new global elite. And I couldn't really find anything. But then it struck me. There's two big globes above Barack Obama, the Eastern Hemisphere and the Western Hemisphere. And the decorations they use, if you look at it from a distance, it's perfect. It's a perfect owl, like Moloch. He's the center. His face is the beak. His body is the mouth. And the globes are the eyes. And if you look at the decorations on the page, it's the shape of an owl. It has the feathers and it has that diagonal sort of shape of an owl. Very interesting. I thought, haven't heard anyone point that out. But
well, if you can get us an image of it, I have not seen the latest Newsweek. This is the cover, you said?
Yeah, it's a cover. Just Google it.
All right, well, we'll try to do that, and if you can Google it, send us the image and send it over to Aaron at Infowars.com. Maybe we can put it on the PrisonPlanet.tv later. I thank you for the call, Ted. All right, let's go to Roy in Michigan. Roy, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, Roy.
Yeah, you know, in front of my house, I have a billboard, which has got Infowars on it, but it, along with who did 911 and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a 12-foot high and 61-foot long, and I would like to take and send you a, send you a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, you know, when you're over the targets, you're going to get heat, and I've been getting a lot of heat. They're taking me to court on it.
Really? What are they saying, that it's an eyesore on the lawn, or it's against some kind of code?
Yeah, they got an ordinance. It's been up. I've had the billboards up, and they've added to them over the years. They've been up for about 12 years. And, you know, they fly me with helicopters, and they do all that stuff. And at one time, they had camped about me here. You know, brought in trailers down the road from me into a park, and then they were just all over my property with automatic weapons and all that stuff.
Well, why wouldn't they SWAT team you when you're trying to get the message out of truth?
Well, they never SWAT team me. They would get off my property and take it, fire off guns, or off to the back of my property and fire off these automatic weapons. And, and then they fly me from time to time with, you know, these jets, which they're amazing to me. They'll fly right down to where my bunker is at, which is a distance from my house. And it'll take it to stop and turn around and fly right back out again. And how they do that is beyond my imagination.
Well, Roy, you're an enemy of America. How dare you promote Infowars.com? But we need more people like you. I thank you for the call. Folks, that's a good way to get the message out. Other than the bumper stickers, putting up signs, I wish people would plaster their neighborhoods more with the bumper stickers. A lot of people put a bumper sticker on a car. Yeah, people read those, but I find them so much more effective on lampposts, city style. I mean, you really get somebody's attention, and that's what we need. We need people to pay attention to what's going on. We need people to take a look, you know, not just buy into what the media has to say about the matter, or you know, the bailout for one, or the war. You know, because everybody's like, Barack Obama's going to end the war in the Middle East. He's not ending anything. Anything. It's still going on. He's not going to give back any powers. He just had Rahm Emanuel named as his chief of staff. This guy is talking about conscription. We got a book coming out a week before Obama takes office, calling for conscription. In fact, we're going to play those conscription clips again. Tom Blankley, Washington Times, saying, hey, we need mandatory military service from everybody in this country. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, truthnews.us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
So I pulled up this new Global Elite Newsweek cover. We'll be showing it later when we broadcast on PrisonPlanet.tv. Remember, we have Mike Rivero coming up in less than 30 minutes. And we also have Ray McGovern in the following hour. Now, I guess this isn't, you know, the regular weekly issue. It just has Obama in it. I can definitely see what he's talking about with the Moloch resemblance and the two eyeballs, but it has a lot of duality. Basically, it's a mirrored image. The left side is the right side mirrored. Tex Mars would probably have a ball with it, and I hope he checks it out. You know, someone shoot him an email. I'm not a huge expert. I do read, you know, I read the books they carry here. I've read Codex Magica. Mysterious Monuments is in my bathroom right now. Another great way to support us, get a copy of those books. I think Tex does great work. So later on, we'll be showing that Newsweek cover. It is awfully bizarre. But right now, before I go back to your calls, I'd really like to play. Let's play this MSNBC clip first, and then we'll play what was on Fox and Friends 2 days ago.
Institution of the military draft should be considered, and has always been an option on the table. A Pentagon spokesman flatly rejected the idea today, saying that the military is giving the idea, quote, absolutely no consideration, unquote. But is it time to revive conscription for the first time since Richard Nixon? Back to discuss it are Democratic strategist Stephanie Cutter and editor of the Washington Times editorial page, Tony Blankley. Tony, it just seemed to me political year. Nobody's going to recommend a return to the draft. But is the draft a good idea, or is a partial draft a good idea? We got 5,000 troops in the Army. It is breaking, according to the Army Chief of Staff, on the basis of two small guerrilla wars. Now, is the U.S. Army big enough and strong enough to handle all the commitments this country's got?
It's not going to happen on Bush's watch, because it's not time for that debate to occur. But the military clearly is not big enough to do the job that's going to be required of it in a world that we live in today and into the foreseeable future. As you say,
all
two
right, stop
small
it right there.
Wars.
All right, right there he says, not going to happen on Bush's watch, because it's not time for that debate yet. No, the time has come when we have Obama saying that everybody needs to give a new service, a new sacrifice for the United States of America. And now our good buddies at Fox and Friends are now promoting this man's book, which is on the shelves 2 days ago, a little over a year later. And it's called Grit, I believe. And I'm sure it's going to be a New York Times number one bestseller. And what's he calling for? Let's hit the clip.
Welcome back, everyone. 7 minutes before the top of the hour. Can America's power last forever? And how do we achieve a new nationalism that puts our country's survival first?
Those questions and more are addressed in a brand new book by Tony Blankley. It comes out today. It's called American Grit. What will it take for America to survive and win in the 21st century? And joining us for his first TV interview about the book is Tony Blankley. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
If you read some of the European papers, they're talking about America is finally in decline. They're getting what they've had coming to them all along. Do you believe that?
Well, it could be so. We have it in our power not to be in decline, and that's what my book's about. I do believe that for the first time in our history, if we don't do a lot of things smart and tough, we could get overwhelmed by the rise of China, the rise of India, the rise of radical Islam. Mm-hmm. We failed to exploit our energy. We're not paying enough attention to what our kids are learning. Bill Ayers is actually a senior person in guiding the curriculum design of America. That started just this last March. But we have it in our power, and I try to write some tough proposals for what we need to do so that our grandchildren live in a country strong enough to protect our freedoms just as we do.
Yeah, Tony, your book's going to get a lot of attention because there are some controversial, bold suggestions. The first one, obviously, that caught my eye was that you were calling for a universal draft, which would mean that all 18-year-olds in America would have to serve for 2 years.
Yes, look, I don't like it. I love the volunteer army. I've got a son who's a second lieutenant in the volunteer army. I know the young men and women who serve. They're the greatest young kids we've ever produced. But we don't have enough troops, and it's manifest that we don't by several magnitudes. For instance, when George Bush wanted to have the surge, he was told by the senior generals we
all
didn't
right,
have
enough. All right, stop it right there. See, look at all these excuses. I love the volunteer army. I'd rather have that, but we just can't surge and stop wars without more people. No, it's never going to be enough. There's always going to be these backdoor excuses. It's total doublespeak. We could have been in and out of Iraq at any moment. Any moment. But that wasn't the plan. The plan is to build a Eurasian Union. So we're going to stick it out. And as we de-escalate troops over there, we're just going to re-escalate troops in Afghanistan, maintaining our United States military presence in the Middle East. I mean, it's so simple. And then you're going to have goons like this go, oh, I wish we could keep that same military in the cover story of the regular Newsweek, not the new global elite issue with Obama and all this symbolism on the cover. Is the article we covered here yesterday, Obama's Cheney dilemma. It's his Cheney, we just admitted on Fox News that we torture people in Guantanamo Bay, and maybe these powers aren't the best thing ever, but don't worry, the Obama administration is going to use these powers well. We're not going to get rid of any of them. And that's literally what this 3-page article is talking about. It's it's probably even more in the magazine. It's unbelievable. It is a liberal shibboleth that torture doesn't work, that suspects will say anything, including lies, to stop the pain. But the reality is perhaps less clear. Obama, keep the torture. It's unreal. I guess it's not surprised it was called on this show. But, you know, they're like, oh, he's going to have to face these difficult choices. And we really need Obama to face these difficult choices with all these powers, because these powers are important. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to go back to your calls. I mean, of course the Obama administration is not going to get rid of this stuff. Of course the wars are going to keep going in the Middle East. Of course there's going to be more of a consolidation of power by the bankers. All right, let's go to Mike in Ohio. Mike, what's on your mind?
Okay, Manuel Noriega. Let me tell you what I recall about all that. I was serving in the military at that time. Here was somebody. Now, keep in mind, I've studied this thing, globalism, since about 1983 is when I had a look at things and started looking at things oddly. He was a sidebar player in all of this, and I can remember watching NBC News. The news media ramped up on him about 10 days prior to their invasion, which means the troops were already getting ready to go down there. It was an evening, a weekday evening, maybe a Monday evening. He was on, they showed him behind a podium giving a speech to his people, and he was waving this saber around. You may recall seeing that, and he said, I'm going to tell the world what George Bush is about, who he really is. He got up the next morning, turned on the television, there were 27,000 troops on the ground there in Panama. And that's how that went. No, you've never heard anything out of him. They've stuck him in a prison in Miami somewhere. You've never heard him up in front of a judge telling his side of the story. Nothing. That's how far back they put him.
So what do you think is going to happen now? I mean, France is asking for his extradition. They're claiming that the Geneva Conventions entitle them to this. Of course, his lawyers are saying, hey, he just served his sentence, and this is a non-wartime charge, and he served his sentence, so why isn't he being extradited home? Of course they don't want his story out. What do you think will come of Manuel?
I think that he'll probably go to Europe, be let go there. Just like other people it's happened to in the past, he'll be in France, they'll turn him loose, you'll never hear anything about him because the news media will not cover him. He'll be, as I said, given some sidebar status in the media, and you'll never hear from him, period. You might hear something about him in the European media. Most of the people here in this country only speak a single language anyway, so it won't matter anymore. And besides that, it's 20-some years in the past.
But you know what? It still matters in the fact that we can expose it and let people know. There's still a lot of people in denial. They don't realize that the United States government runs the hard drugs in this country. I thank you for the call. I'm glad somebody did call on topic today. What do you know? On topic phone calls. And I have to agree with him. I think that he might get extradited to another prison in France, though. France might just get their turn at him. And what the French will do, well, they'll purge him for intel that they don't have. They'll try to piece some of the pieces together on the lower levels that happened in the 80s. Not that it isn't an international intelligence organization at the top, because it completely and totally is. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to hear from him either. I'm kind of shocked that this is even in the news. It was updated just before I got into the studio. All right, let's go to Brad in California. Brad, what's on your mind?
Hey, shout out from Chico here in California. I just wanted to update you guys on some things that are going on here. And the yesterday show reminded me of this, about the farm people getting raided.
Mm-hmm.
About a year and a half ago, I lived on the property of a church here in Chico that was raided by the police for no reason. They had no warrant. 15 to 20 armed men came on the property, some of them dressed in riot gear, roused us all out of the house, took our IDs, and just scared the crap out of us, basically.
And why did they do this? What was their excuse for coming in?
Well, they said that there were known felons there.
Okay.
And the church, it's a registered, you know, church and everything,
mm-hmm.
is run by a kind of radical local guy, and it was just basically, as it turns out, just a shakedown to scare him. He was running for Congress at the time.
Really? So nobody actually got charged with anything?
Nobody got charged with anything at all.
Wow.
They took all of our information, took all of our IDs, made us all come out of the house. They didn't come in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
probably because they didn't have a warrant.
Yeah, it was a 50-acre property, and they came and took all of our info. And that's just one incident.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, recently there was a riot here at Chico State with the students.
I didn't hear anything about that.
You can see it on YouTube.
Really? And what were they rioting about?
Well, it doesn't stop there. The city council passed a local ordinance here prohibiting large gatherings of people. And so what they went and did is broke up all the parties around campus all at one time. So they flushed about 1,500 drunk college students into the street all at one time. And lo and behold, they show up all in riot gear with the fire truck spraying everybody down and everything. What a coincidence.
Really? And this on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Police riot. Yeah, just check Chico riots and you'll see.
Well, we're definitely going to check that out. Maybe we can have Aaron do a story on it.
Yeah, look here. It doesn't stop there. After the riot, the Chico Police Associations posted on YouTube a propaganda video saying how Proposition 215 causes crime and how they need more police officers because of the local riot. Look at it.
Basically they're trying to turn this incident into more funding for them. Not a shock. I thank you for the call, Brad. Hopefully Dice can take a look at that. You know, he's got so much on his plate. But I have not heard about that Chico State riot, and I will be looking into that later in the afternoon. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Jimmy in Michigan. Jimmy, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? Yesterday I was listening to your show, and at the end, a gentleman was talking about buying a cow. Mm-hmm. And you're right. If you live in, I live near Ann Arbor. If you live in Ann Arbor, an apartment, you can't have a cow. I mean, you'd know if he got on your couch.
Exactly.
You know? And, but what a dairy did here in Washtenaw County is you owned a cow in Indiana. And then when you paid for the milk, you didn't buy the milk. You were just paying for the feeding and care of the cow. And you got the milk and the cheese for free. And they got raided and busted by the USDA because of interstate commerce.
Wow. You know what? I would love you to send us that story, because that's a great – that is – first of all, that's an ingenious way of having a co-op when you don't live next to, you know, farmers, you know, when you don't live right in that type of community. I think that's genius. But, of course, they're going to go after you. I'm sure
if they'd have been in Michigan, they'd have been all right. But because mm-hmm. the cows were in Indiana and they crossed state lines – the ICC and the USDA got involved in the whole thing.
You know, on my way over here, I believe I was listening to the fact that now they're trying to pass a ruling where there'll be a new marking on meat, and no longer will it just be USDA grade beef. It'll be beef from all or produce from all over the world, and it'll just have a new sticker on it saying it's
right.
Other country. And if we're going to start shipping in, other countries' meat, which I think is a completely insane idea, number one, because it'll kill the farm here, and number two is, you know, it probably won't be as healthy, folks. I can totally see that. It's unreal what we've gotten into, and I hope that, you know, we can fight this and we can reverse those laws, because that is an interesting way to have a co-op when you do have an apartment. I thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jason. I wanted to call, you know, I appreciate you, Corey, and all Dylan, the work you guys did on Loose Change.
Thank you.
You guys are great Americans. That's the first thing. My question, though, is it's kind of a two-part question. Now, do you know a whole lot about Ron Paul in particular?
Sure.
I hate to get off topic here. But
No,
anyway.
That's all right. Sure. Yeah, I know quite a bit about Mr. Paul.
Okay. Now, I've been following Mr. Paul, and I'm a big supporter. I've read his book. I've actually lent out his book to several people to read for themselves to hopefully get them to realize, you know what I mean, a good politician and what a good politician stands for. But I was just looking around on YouTube this morning, and I seen this video about Ron Paul and Freemasonry. Now, I know there's a lot of disinformation out there, but
yes.
I tried to continue to do more research on Freemason handshakes and Freemason signals, mm-hmm. like different signs they make, and I seem to have a consensus view that the signs they were shown on YouTube seem to be Masonic signs.
All right. I've heard this rumor too. It's been posted on my YouTube page, and you know, I don't give much credence to it. I've seen the videos. I've never seen him interacting with somebody else and throwing up a sign. I mean, he's apparently got some arthritis in his hands. I mean, I've thrown up the hook'em horns, and not because I'm a Texas fan, because I was an ignorant kid at rock shows. You know what I mean? I'm not Masonic at all. You know, when I see world leaders doing it, when I look at, Tex Mars information that I plugged earlier today, I give him about, first of all, he comes at it from a massive Christian perspective. You know, I don't think that he is able to come in from a, kind of like a blind perspective. He does take the Christian route. But at the other end of it, he does know a lot of these Babylonian symbols, these Masonic symbols, these mystery religions, things that, I'm not as familiar with. So I take that stuff with a grain of salt. I think there's no doubt when you see somebody like Pat Robertson on the cover of Time magazine throwing up the bear claw that he's throwing up the bear claw. You know, and I think a lot of these George Bush and family rocking the hook'em horns at the inauguration ceremony ain't the hook'em horns. I don't think, Ron Paul is on the team of the Masons. He's done too much to fight the power structure. Campaign for Liberty is an ingenious idea. We've got Mike Rivero coming up on webcam. I can see him right now. It's going to be on PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm Jason Vermes. We'll be back after this. It's the Alex Jones Show. Folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. In only 5 minutes via PrisonPlanet.tv, we're going to have Mike Rivero live, split screen. I love this new studio. It's so much cooler than the old one. You can actually see somebody when you talk to him, and they can be in another... I mean, he's in Hawaii, for God's sakes. I mean, I thought it was nice in Texas. I guarantee it's gorgeous out there. So I'm going to shoot through a couple more of your calls. Mike Rivero next hour, then we have Ray McGovern in the following hour after that. We'll save the final hour all for phone calls, so if you want to ask me whatever, you can ask me whatever. Although I do like the on-topic phone calls. The Noriega call was great. All right, so let's go to, I believe we are on Joshua in Florida. Joshua, what's on your mind? All right, let's go to Vic in Michigan.
Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, I was just... playing in Photoshop with that download from Newsweek, and I did some pixelization distortion, I'll send it to you in email, but it definitely has.
Well, it's got the big worlds on the top right hand side. I saw it. It's also a mirror image from the middle, which is kind of popular right now in T-shirts and even artwork. And, again, I mean, just the outline of Obama himself with, like, the little, they are promoting this. He's on the cover of everything. Did you see the Rolling Stone cover, by the way?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
I mean, they made him out to be God. I mean, that's what he is. He's in the clouds. He has, like, a lightning, ominous glow. I just don't like how somebody who's unproven, somebody who is a state senator for most of his career, somebody who comes out in 2004, gives the Democratic National Convention keynote address. He's then put into the actual Senate, and he serves less than 4 years in the actual Senate. In 2007 is when he actually, and believe me, it was planned before 2007 he was going to be running for president, but he announces it in 2007, and he wins. And it's not just vote Obama, vote Obama. It's, again, you see this stuff in the hip-hop stores, and I'm glad you said that, because I had one of these guys I talked to on MySpace. He does custom artwork for shoes and hats and stuff. So he does painting and stitching. And he's getting tons of Obama orders. And he's like, look, Jason, I can't turn this away. This is how I make my living. And he was telling me how one of his associates just charged $400 for a pair of Obama custom Converse. It's insane.
Just amazing. But hey, I'm also, just want to let you know, electronic engineer. I think I talked to you on Monday. But anyways,
okay.
I know you guys are building a new studio, and I would like to offer my services to you guys. I'm an electronic engineer. I can design all kinds of audio equipment interfaces, and I've done a lot of stuff.
Tell you what, send your information over to Aaron at Infowars.com. He's the one that's going through all that. I thank you for the call, Joshua. Aaron at InfoWars.com. I mean, I know that Aaron gets a ton of stuff, but he really is the conduit for where which all this, you know, takes place. All right, last caller before the break. Let's go to Tom in Colorado. Tom, what's on your mind? Tom, are you with us?
I'm running for the inauguration thing.
What about the inauguration?
Well, he's, Obama's supposed to be tested. I'm wondering whether they're going to test him or go ahead and kill him off and go ahead and start the race war.
All right, of course, we just couldn't help but have that token racist phone call here at the end of the hour. Folks, they're not going to start any race war with Obama. They like him a lot. He reaches out to the people. He moves people. It's about a movement. We have Mike Rivero on the other side. It's the Alex Jones Show. PrisonPlanet.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is the 14th day of January, Wednesday, 2009. I am not Alex Jones. I am Jason Burma, sitting in all week. Welcome, PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers. Right now, we have a guest who's had one of the most effective websites for truth out there over the past decade or so. I think it's even, I might even be more than 10 years old right now. It's one of the first things I found when I started looking into the truth. WhatReallyHappened.com, Michael Rivero. And he's got a radio show as well. And he even appears in my little film, Fable Enemies, that came out in September. And we thank you for joining us, Michael.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Jason. Definitely a pleasure to be with you again.
Awesome. And we love the new video cam. I mean, the technology is going up. You know, hopefully we'll have a real station soon, like a real TV station. More people can get our information. But it is exploding. As the market crashes, I see more and more visitors, more and more people actually listening to what we have to say. And I really want to talk to you about what you think is going to be happening in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months in this country.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're heading into a very, very dark time economically and politically. And what you said about more and more people tuning into the alternative media, Genesis Communication Network, our various websites on the blogosphere, is a continuation of a trend as more and more American people and basically around the world come to understand that the corporate media is really a disinformation channel. They're turning away from it. They're turning to the alternative media to try and find out what's going on. In a lot of ways, this mirrors what we saw leading up to the decline and fall of the former Soviet Union, where the Russian people became very dissatisfied with what they were getting from Pravda and Izvestia. They began to realize there was a lot of lying and deception going on. They created their own populist media, the Samizdat, to get information around. And ultimately, when the government lost the trust of the Russian people, it was no longer able to function, and that was basically at that point we knew the Soviet Union was going to collapse. And I think we're kind of in the same situation right now here in the United States.
Where do you think all this bailout's going? I mean, we had Bernanke yesterday saying, look, we need more bailouts. Before that, Paulson said the bailouts that have come through, we're going to have more banks closed down anyway. And we still have not heard what the Obama stimulus package is going to be. We're now 6 days away from him coming into office. I mean, personally, I'm not too thrilled with his chief of staff pick, Rahm Emanuel. This is a guy that's calling for mandatory conscription of 18 to 25-year-olds. So, I mean, when you saw his speech and he said, you know, this is going to be a time of great sacrifice and service for you, the people, do you think that that's in the cards? Do you think that we might have conscription? And where do you think all this banking mess is going to go?
Well, as far as the conscription is concerned, it should be very obvious that Israel is trying to kick off a major regional war in the Mideast in which the United States will find itself mired. And once again, young American men and young American women are going to be playing bullet catchers for Israel's expansionist policy. So that's definitely in the works. Rahm Emanuel is very much in favor of that. He's very supportive of Israel. He's one of these individuals where we have to ask, where do their true loyalties lie? And if it's not with the United States, States. Why isn't he in such a position of power? As far as the economy and the bailouts, it's running absolutely out of control. But you need to understand that the whole point of the bailouts isn't so much where the money is being spent. It is merely that it is being borrowed and created. Because if you look at the way our Federal Reserve operates, money does not exist until somebody is there to borrow it. When you sign that loan document at the bank literally creates the money you've borrowed out of thin air. That's how the Federal Reserve System works. So what happened this last year is that the American people prudently stopped their borrowing. They slowed down because as our manufacturing jobs left to other countries, Americans realized we don't have the money to pay these debts, so we're not going to borrow as much. We're not going to use our credit cards. We're not going to buy the bigger, flashier car. So the government is borrowing on our behalf. That's what the bailout is.
And we'll be paying it back, but we're not going to have any jobs to pay it back, so we're going to be in an interesting situation. It's the Alex Jones Show. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. And a couple of other key appointments that we should really mention in the Obama administration that have occurred over the past couple of days. The fact that John Kerry is on board as the head of the Foreign Relations Committee. And, you know, some people might think that's the greatest thing since breakfast. I don't know. I don't think it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, obviously, you know, Kerry was a front in 2004 to throw the election to Bush. I mean, he won the election. He didn't demand a recount. He didn't demand they even really count the votes at all. And then his new climate czar, his pick is global warming czar, because we need a czar for global warming. Carol M. Browner, one of the 14 leaders of the socialist group Commission for a Sustainable World Society, which calls for global governance. Of course, when the Washington Times printed this article and people got wind of it, it was taken off within hours. So really not impressing me so much with the cabinet. I mean, he actually cracked jokes during the debate that he was going to have Hillary Clinton on his squad. Then him and Hillary snuck away together in D.C. Snuck away together in D.C. on the weekend of the Bilderberg meeting. And Gergen actually talked about that meeting. You know, they said there was a secret meeting. First it was at Clinton's house. Then later they said it was at Dianne Feinstein's. My guess is that it was probably with members of the Bilderberg group. I kind of want to get your opinion on that too, Michael. But Gergen called it and said that they were probably talking about what her position was going to be, whether it was going to be Secretary of State or possibly somewhere else in the administration. What do you think about these backdoor secret meetings with Hillary Clinton? Do you think that they were over at the Bilderberg group? What's your opinion on that, Mike?
Going on, and I think at the point where Hillary realized that she was not going to be able to win the nomination, she wanted to make the best deal for herself with Barack Obama and held over his head the nuclear option of getting her supporters to back John McCain. And I think up until the point that McCain picked Sarah Palin as his running mate, it was a credible threat. But I think John McCain erred on that, or maybe he was just looking at the way the country is headed and decided at the last second maybe he didn't want to be president after all. And I said, let's get a vice president that will end my candidacy graciously, and I'll take the rest of my campaign war chest and retire quietly. But yeah, there's obviously been a lot of deal making going on. Barack Obama obviously has made a lot of deals, which is why we have so many of the old Clinton cronies showing up in his administration. And it is very distressing for people who wanted to listen to his message of change that we can believe in, because we're not seeing change. The guy in the Oval Office is different, but everything around him basically harkens back to the 1990s. And I'm very distressed by Hillary Clinton coming out and saying that she's just not going to negotiate with Hamas, because like it or not, Hamas is the elected government of another country, and that's the Secretary of State's job, is to talk to the elected government of other countries. And Hillary is starting out saying, I'm not going to do my job, let's just drop bombs and get it over with. So that's a warning sign.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Middle East. How do you feel about the policy? I mean, Obama's openly talking about a redistribution of forces into Afghanistan. I mean, yes, we're going to see a de-escalation in Iraq, but he says we're going to send more troops into Afghanistan. I mean, I feel like all they're doing is keeping their presence there. As more stabilization occurs in Iraq, I feel like the big plan is a Eurasian Union, obviously. You know, Israel is our ally. Saudi Arabia, we're still pretty much doing positive dealings with. The only rogue in that region is really Iran. I mean, Pakistan and India, you could argue, but Biden's out in Pakistan trying to smooth things over this week after the Mumbai attacks. Well, well, I feel like he's over there basically to see how much he has to cover up for our end. I mean, obviously, you know, Biden is well aware of the ISI. He knew about the funding of the hijackers. We cover that in Fabled Enemies. There's no doubt about it. He was on the floor on the 12th talking about pretending to be our friend in Pakistan, yet he's meeting with the head of the ISI at that point. He knows of the dealings there. And so he goes there now after the Mumbai attacks, you know, lead back to an ISI asset, a CIA asset, and the governments of India are openly saying that Pakistani intelligence was involved. So he has to go over there. I don't think that we really want to bomb Pakistan, although that's been in the news lately, too. What do you think? You think we're going to bomb Pakistan?
I think we're probably going to go into Pakistan, or we're going to support India going into Pakistan, because if you look at the geography of the region, you have got Afghanistan to the north, which is pretty much under U.S. control nominally. You mm-hmm. have India, which is very much an ally of the United States. For China to be able to send pipelines through to Middle East oil, they must go through Pakistan. So if we can turn Pakistan into a war zone, then that cuts China off from one of the resources they need industrially, and I think that's why there is so much pressure on Pakistan right now. It's kind of a repeat of what we saw the U.S. try to do in Georgia and Ossetia, because that land corridor between the Caspian and the Black Sea was the only route by which Russia could militarily support Iran by ground convoy. And I think the goal there was to get a border war going, which would basically blockade those tunnels and prevent Russia from supporting Iran. But when that war didn't work out so well, I think that's when the push to invade Iran began to wane, when they couldn't keep Russia out of the region. So they shifted over to Pakistan. Now Israel's talking about a bombing attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure again. It's definitely a lot of chaos. And as I like to tell my own listeners, we're in a very awkward stage in our planet's history where all of our immediate future is basically being determined by whichever world leader is the least mentally stable, and we've got some real nutcases in power right now.
I agree with that. So you think that Iran is relatively going to be put on the back burner and that the real conflict may be in Pakistan? I hope you're wrong. I hope that installing a new dictator will at least, you know, wave that off. You know, I figured that's what they were trying to do it diplomatically. But the rhetoric is there. I mean, they're talking about them being the new big enemy. And I think that just one type of terror event, either here or in Europe, being blamed on Pakistan could be the catalyst to send, you know, our forces or NATO forces or UN forces in there. And that would be a total and complete nightmare. That might be, you know, most people were saying the Iran conflict was what was going to spark, you know, World War III, but a conflict with Pakistan could very well do the same.
You're absolutely correct here. And the issue here isn't whether we want to go into Iran or we want to go into Pakistan. There are numerous players and numerous factions, and each has their own agenda. Israel still wants us to attack Iran. The U.S., I think, has decided they can't do it because they can't keep Russia from intervening militarily. So now they're looking at Pakistan, if for no other reason than to block off China's access to Middle Eastern oil and force them to come do business with the United States for their petroleum. And, you know, again, it's that chessboard around the oil fields that's really in play.
You think that Russia is unhappy with its place in the world? I mean, obviously there was a play, like you said, in that South Ossetia-Georgian conflict to see what kind of a world power they still were. Do you feel like they feel like they don't want to be a second world nation in this global order? I mean, that's how I feel like the play is. You know, I mean, you had Putin and Bush sitting next to each other at the Olympics as this conflict's going on. I don't think that Putin is very happy with the way that he was treated, and I don't think that he's very happy with, you know, the U.S. basically trying to build the North American Union here at home, and I really do believe trying to build a Eurasian Union right around the corner from their home.
Well, I don't think it's a question of whether Russia wants to be number one or number two. I think Russia, certainly looking at what Putin was doing right after he got rid of the oligarchs, I think he wants peace and prosperity for his people because his own political fortunes are dependent on that. But he lives, unfortunately, in a time when there are some very belligerent nations who see their own fortunes greatly improved by major warfare. I mean, setting aside for the moment Israel's obvious push for war in Lebanon, war in Iran, war against Syria, war against Jordan, the list goes on. We have in the United States a large number of people who are looking at our economic problems and thinking that a major war at least will disguise the symptoms, give them something to blame it all on. I mean, Americans will put up with lack of food, lack of clothes, lack of fuel if they think there's a war going on and they have to rally around the flag. And if you look back at the history of America's participation in major wars, each one happened just as the United States was dealing with a major depression. There was a depression in the early 1900s. We got out of that by going into World War I. With that whole deception over the Lusitania. We were in the Great Depression just before Roosevelt got us into World War II with the Pearl Harbor deception. So now we're in serious economic trouble. People are saying this is a new depression. And sure enough, we have the U.S. government that's out there saying, let's kick off a major war and crank up the defense industries and make bombs and just, you know, at least everybody will be distracted from how bad things are because there's a war on and we've got to rally around the flag. And I think that's their thinking. And it's not going to work this time because, first of all, because of the alternative media, the American people know they're being lied to about these situations. They're not going to trust the government's story about any new war. Second of all, the United States is not the industrial powerhouse it was for World War I and World War II. We can't sustain the kind of manufacturing output it takes to support a major global war. And our economy is already in a shambles. I think a new major war will be the end of the United States.
I agree with you, and I think what it'll do is restructure us, Canada, and Mexico together. My fear is, all right, let's say that the dollar totally and completely collapses in the next 6 months and it's no longer the world reserve currency. That alone could probably start some real military conflicts. And like you said, we don't have the factories that we once had. We can't just take a factory and take the workers there and suspend whatever product they were making because they don't make anything here anymore. You know, you mm-hmm. can't make weapons in a factory that's not fit to make shoes because we don't make anything. The last thing we made here were cars, and that's about to go under as well. I mean, we're spread so thin militarily. Is this going to be like the first United States military defeat? I mean, people could argue Vietnam and everything, but I'm talking about on a global scale.
I think it very well could be because if you look at the historical precedent for the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, Rome began to decline when they spread their legions so thin they only had to lose one up in Germany, and then they could no longer police their global empire, and the little fringe nations began breaking away, and the revenues to Rome dropped, and Rome sank into debt and collapsed.
Unbelievable. It's the Alex Jones Show. We're talking with Mike Rivera of WhatReallyHappened.com. We're going to be talking the economy and Obama and more. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Folks, we are upping the game over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We are streaming live at least 2 hours of video right now, actually. So you can not only listen to us through our great AM and FM affiliates, GCN, but PrisonPlanet.tv, you can actually see my pretty face and, of course, Mike Rivera's on the cam. We're going to take your calls after this segment. Let's try to keep it on topic. I'd appreciate if we could keep away from the spooky hand signals and the race wars. Some people, man, I mean, they're just unbelievable. We got real, real issues to talk about here. We got a new administration coming in 6 days. We've got people like Colin Powell, Joe Biden, and Madeleine Albright all warning us about a crisis. Now, at first, I didn't give much credence to this. I thought it was political rhetoric, especially on Biden's part, to try to get him elected. And, I didn't take much stock in what Albright said. But when Colin Powell gave a date of the 21st or 22nd, it definitely spooked me out. Some people have tried to point to the fact that he said that before the economic crisis hit television, but I don't know. Do you give any credence to that, Mike? Do you think that there's going to be something coming up on the 21st or 22nd? I mean, it could just be the announcement of more bank collapses. Who knows?
I'm very hesitant to name a date like the 20th or the 21st. Mm-hmm. And again, this gets back to the comment about so many different factions right now, each pushing their own agenda. And I am certain that there are some people who are thinking that a new 9/11 is going to advance their particular situation. They are being balanced by, I hope, a larger majority who are saying that the American people are already suspicious of the first 9/11, and a second one is going to be a very reckless and very dangerous and risky proposition. But again, you know, it's not like the government is operating in a united, monolithic sense. There's a lot of different players, and they're all doing what they think is going to be in their own best interests.
You know, I agree with you there. And, you know, people say, well, why do you keep bringing up 9/11? It's because the mainstream media constantly brings up 9/11. Today on Fox News, FoxNews.com admitted that they torture people at Guantanamo Bay, but of course the guy they were torturing was a suspect in the 9/11 attacks, and he later confessed that he was involved, so it's okay, you know, and it just blows my mind. And even
I love it. It's, you know, we've tortured him into confessing, therefore it must be true.
And then you've had those military tribunals that have made the news in the past couple months of these supposed 9/11 suspects outside of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Of course, we're never going, we'll see nothing more than transcripts about that. And people will buy into it, you know. Mickey Rourke just won the Golden Globe for The Wrestler. I actually watched it. I like the movie. I think he actually might even deserve an Oscar for it. But then he gets interviewed, and what's the headline? It's not, oh, Mickey Rourke wins the Golden Globe. No, Mickey Rourke says Bush did the right thing after 9/11 to the terrorists. Of course, Mickey Rourke is going to weigh in. And the sad thing is, Mike, more people are going to listen to him because he's in the movies and on television than are going to listen to you or me, because that's the kind of society we live in.
Well, I think that was the conventional wisdom a long time ago, but I'm not certain that's true anymore, first of all, because I think thanks be to people like Paris Hilton and her ilk, people are realizing that celebrities may look very good and make a very hot weekend, but they're not necessarily really up to date on what's going on. And to balance them, of course, you have people like Charlie Sheen and Willie Nelson and Rosie O'Donnell, who have laid their careers on the line to speak truth to power. And these are being viewed as modern day heroes and heroines. And so I think Mickey Rourke may ultimately in the long run have marginalized himself with that comment.
Well, I hope you're right. But, you know, I just it leads me to the sheeple like mentality of people that, you know, they're more interested. I mean, Paris Hilton can have how many, like 6 or 7 reality shows, and people still tune in. She still makes money on television just being her regular idiotic self. And people worship that and glorify it. And I think that's why we're in the situation we are with the banks in the Middle East, is because people aren't paying attention. I was impressed that most people weren't for the bailout. But, you know, when I'd be in a bar and I'd be talking to, you know, the local, you know, Republican business owner, oh, no, man, if we don't have this bailout, we're going to go under. It's explaining every single great thing about the bailout that the news media was using as talking points 3 months mm-hmm. ago. And now when the news media says, oh, my God, we're in the worst economic situation since the Great Depression, they're still saying, well, we need another bailout. That's what the news told me. We need another bailout. How are we going to get past that?
Well, you have to remember that the Republican Party was actually emailing these talking points out to business owners, because I own a small business and I actually got one of these myself. And it is simply propaganda, because everyone is always debating about who's going to get the tax burden in the next administration. So the GOP wanted to keep the tax breaks George Bush gave them. The Obama supporters want the tax breaks to go to them this time. And what they need to do is unite and say, look, taxes on everybody are too high and we need to back off. That's how you save the economy.
All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be taking your calls on the other side. Mike Rivero, whatreallyhappened.com, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Is it getting better?
It's the Alex Jones Show. So hard to interrupt Johnny Cash when he's doing his thing. I love the Cash. We're going to be taking your calls in this segment. Myself and Mike Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. We're going to go to Paul, Rocco, Todd, and others. But there's a new Bin Laden audio tape that's hitting the waves in the media. I read about it this morning, but I couldn't get a hold of whether it actually hit the news media, whether it was an audio or a videotape. And of course, it's an audio tape, and he's unhappy about what's going on in Gaza. And hell, I'm unhappy about what's going on in Gaza. The problem with that is, you know, of course, he's probably taking the Palestinian side, and that automatically demonizes people like myself and Mike that try to point out that the Palestinians aren't really the ones in the wrong here. It's Israel that is encroaching on their space. They're the ones that have the military on their borders constantly and are one of the main causes of the civil unrest over there. But now Bin Laden has a new audio tape. We haven't seen him in years. I think the last time we actually saw him was Blackbeard Bin Laden. And that was just such poor video quality. It's amazing. I'd like to get your take on the new Bin Laden tape prior to us going to calls, Mike. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely correct. The whole reason for dragging Bin Laden, or Bin Laden Light in this case, out of the closet is to tar anybody who is speaking against Israel in this situation. I mean, the reality is Hamas is the elected government of Palestine. Hamas had basically followed the ceasefire for the last 6 months. Israel now admits Hamas was not firing rockets into Israel at the time when Israel broke the ceasefire on November 4th by attacking Gaza. So Israel is clearly in the wrong here. And again, if you go back to United Nations Resolution 242, Israel is supposed to be out of the occupied territories, not building new settlements and going in and just behaving very rudely. So they can't win on points of international law. They can't win on morality. They can't win on the facts. So they're going to drag out Bin Laden and use him to basically tarnish anybody who is speaking out for peace. The problem with that is that more and more people are well aware that Osama Bin Laden appears to have actually died in December of 2001, and every Osama since then appears to be some permutation of Wag the Dog video production. They're using the dead guy one more time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And you know, there's a movie out there about Jimmy Carter, and I'm not a huge Jimmy Carter fan, but Jimmy Carter came out with a book not so long ago called Peace, Not Apartheid, and it was all about the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. And there's a documentary that just goes through his book tour. And it's something very palatable for the mainstream, for somebody like your uncle or your aunt or your cousin that doesn't really know about this stuff but knows who Jimmy Carter is. And I suggest people get that. All right, let's go to calls. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul, what's on your mind? Paul, are you with us? Yes, sir.
I'm so happy to be able to get through today. I'm a first-time caller. But I've been listening since the beginning of Alex Jones way back. I've listened to Genesis before he was on.
Awesome.
What I want to talk about is the first thing you mentioned with this new guest is conscription.
Mm-hmm.
Can I read you the 13th Amendment? It's one sentence.
All right, go for it.
It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Does this not make conscription illegal? Is that not involuntary servitude?
I would say it makes it constitutionally illegal. Unfortunately, the people that are running the show right now could give a damn about the Constitution and Bill of Rights. What do you think, Mike?
Well, yeah, the way they get around that is during the military draft, there's a point where they say, all of you who choose to serve the United States, step forward. And they construe this to mean that you are volunteering, therefore the 13th Amendment does not apply. But we have a government that is absolutely ignoring the Constitution, which in my point of thinking delegitimizes them already along with all the obvious lies. So we also need to go back to that little brochure that the FBI has distributed to police departments around America, that anybody who's talking about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights needs to be reported as a potential terror suspect. So obviously our government really isn't paying attention to the Constitution. It's just something, as George Bush says, it's a blank, blank piece of paper.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of the days that my history teacher used to carry a pocket constitution around all the time, and he was very proud of this fact, and he would whip it out whenever, you know, there was a question. He'd say, well, actually, this part of the Constitution says that I don't have to do that, and now he's supposedly a potential terrorist. Geez, I just thought he was someone who was trying to help. All right, let's go to Rocco. Rocco, what's on your mind? You there, Rocco? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just want to remind the folks out there, you know, about this new administration coming in and what their future plans are for this country. I mean, I'm extremely, I guess, hopeful and optimistic that Obama is not going to end up being who, you know, everyone fears he might be. But mm-hmm. you never really know until, you know, the guy's in office and you give him a try and then you see what he actually does.
Sure.
But, you know, one thing that I'm really concerned about is, you know, our loss of freedom and our loss of rights in this country. And, you know, I mean, how much freedom did we have against the terrorists of 1770? When people were actually, you know, on the streets shooting themselves. And then we forget that in the 1800s, the British actually came and burned Washington, D.C. And still didn't have the Patriot Act. We didn't have all of our rights taken away. We weren't having our phone calls listened in on and everything else. So, you know, I feel like there's a bigger agenda going on.
I also, you're kind of cutting in and out, so we're going to let you go. But I also feel like there's a bigger agenda going on. And in fact, the cover story of Newsweek is Obama's Cheney problem. And Newsweek is pointing to all these executive powers that the Bush administration has passed over the last 8 years. But they're making a case that Obama will not misuse these powers, so there's no reason to get rid of them via executive orders. What's your take on that?
I think that is a very, very dangerous article that came out. It's a very dangerous idea. I think if Obama really wants to bring about change we can believe in, he has to start reversing many of those executive orders, because this whole idea that, yeah, these orders are dangerous to the liberties of the American people, but trust your leaders, they won't abuse them, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. The whole reason for having a Bill of Rights and a Constitution was the recognition by our founding fathers that people in positions of power are just human beings, and they're subject to human frailties and weaknesses, and power attracts the very kind of people who ought not to have it. And so, in point of fact, it is dangerous to allow these executive orders to stand, and Obama should rescind them all immediately.
Yeah, I wish that he would rescind them all immediately. What really gets me is the tone of the article, where they're defending torture in many cases, where they're saying, you know, it's basically making every excuse in the book to keep these orders, and because it's a new face, it's not a problem. No, it's a problem because it gives people in the executive branch an obscene amount of power when we were supposed to have checks and balances in this country. That's why there's three branches of government, folks. Okay, judicial, executive, and legislative. But the executive has just gotten so out of control with its powers. I mean, the line is not only blurred, it's gone. All right, let's go to Todd in Florida. Todd, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, what's going on, bud?
Not much. What's happening?
Nothing. I actually just sent a picture from a camera phone to Aaron. And
okay.
I have somebody that's very close to me that is in the Postal Service, and they recently had to deliver, they had three or four of these packages on their route, but I'm pretty sure they're mass distributed. And big, huge package, and it's a survey, and on the front of it, in big, huge letters, it said 2009 National Survey for North American Union and NAFTA Super Trade Highway. Now, and it's a survey. It's a mass survey going out.
Do you know who's sending it out? What's the outgoing address? Did you get a chance to look at that?
I'm not really sure. I sent the picture to him. He might be able to pick it up off the picture. I wasn't there at the time. They had to take the picture and drop it.
You know what? Send it to my MySpace, too. Can you send me a link to my MySpace? Yeah. It's myspace.com/Jason Burmes, because Aaron does get quite overwhelmed. I do try to read all the messages that I get. I may not reply to all of them, but I'd love to see it as well. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much in the open. Even, you know, Dobbs, one of the few people that actually reports what's going on in this country, recently did something about the Securities and Prosperities Partnership, and the Obama administration is opening talks again. You know, it's just like the Trans-Texas Corridor gets reported last week that it's dead. No, they just renamed it. It's under a different project. They're not going to tear the road down that they've built. They're going to continue to build it. So, you know, this is just more expansion, more of an advancement. And these surveys that they send to people, it's to feel them out, to see what they like and what they don't like, what they feel is positive, so that when they do run a commercial, you're going to be more apt to say, you know what, that's a great idea. We do need that. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Brian in Iowa. Brian, what's on your mind?
Nice talk. Hey, Jason, nice to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I wanted to thank you and the Loose Change crew for turning me around about 3 years ago.
Oh, thank you, man.
I'm calling from Prison Camp, Iowa State. Okay. They recently had a protest going on against the Gaza invasion, And yesterday they had it going on in front of the Memorial Union, I guess, and one of the administrators came out and told them, sorry, you can't do that here. If you do not move to one of the designated free speech zones, you will be arrested.
Mike, why don't you talk about these designated free speech zones? Because most people think, oh, we have free speech in this country. We can talk about whatever we want. But as soon as we talk about anything that matters in this country or anything that matters about Israel and Palestine, all of a sudden we don't have those same rights, do we?
No, we don't. This free speech zone, it's an absolute joke. It's a slap in the face of every American who ever died defending the Constitution and the Bill of Rights through all the wars we've fought up to this point. And basically what it means is you have freedom of speech, but the government reserves the right to put you in a special free speech zone, which means you're away from the press, you're away from the public, and you can say whatever you want as long as you're in these places where nobody can hear you. And it's a very disingenuous way of handling the situation, because the whole point of free speech is that you are to be heard. It isn't necessarily the right to speak out what you're saying. It is a right to share your thoughts and your ideas with your fellow Americans, whether that's in the public square, on TV, in the newspapers, or here on the internet. And the idea of the creation of the free speech zone, it is simply an attempt to corral up dissidents and put them in a place where they can say, yeah, you can say anything you want over here, but we have the right to make sure nobody else can hear what you're saying. And that's what the government is arrogating to itself right now. And basically, it hamstrings the First Amendment. We really don't have a right to free speech if the government can tell us where we can exercise that right.
And this was really born right before the 2004 elections, when the Democratic National Convention, the Republican National Conventions were coming to big cities like Boston and New York, and they didn't want a visible protest outside. So they create these pens, you know, miles away or 2 miles away. It's unbelievable. I thank you for the call. And that's why Alex Jones has used his bullhorn, Tyranny Crusher 1, to circumvent these kind of things. When they won't let you near him, well, you're going to hear his voice anyway. And we're happy to say that that has reached over $50,000 on eBay, and today is the last day you can bid on that. Remember, folks, all that money that comes in from that is really going to be to expand the studios here in Austin, Texas. And from what they were when I came down to make my film Fabled Enemies in April to the new studios now, it is like night and day. And there's Tyranny Crusher 1 in Scanner Darkly. I mean, it's the same exact bullhorn. It's signed by Alex Jones. It truly is a piece of history. We really hope that you support us. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's jump to Fred in Philly. Fred, what's on your mind?
Hey, it's good to hear from you again. What do you think about the possibility that there's no country in the world that really isn't bankrupt at this point? I mean,
well,
if you look
first
at
of
it
all,
from
well,
like
well,
a,
hold on, before you get there, first of all, countries that still make things, that have factories, they're not really bankrupt because they can still make goods and have goods and services in that country. All right. Secondly, some countries still have precious metals that are always going to retain value, okay? Not so much the countries, but the leaders of those countries and the elites in those countries. Silver, gold, platinum, this is stuff that's retained value for thousands of years, so that's not going to go anywhere. As far as countries already being bankrupt, I mean, what's the debt, right? What's the deficit in this country right now, Mike? Is it almost $1 trillion?
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it's going to be way more than that next year. And I think what the caller is talking about is the fact that when you have a monetary system that is based on debt, as we do in the United States with the Federal Reserve, the problem with such a monetary system is that more money is owed than actually exists. And so the system will work as long as there's always a new young generation of borrowers coming in at the bottom of the pyramid to prop up the system. But what happened here in the United States and is happening around the world is you don't have those new borrowers coming in, and so the whole system's beginning to collapse. You thought Bernie Madoff had a really ugly pyramid scheme, but the entire Federal Reserve system is a pyramid scheme as well, because it can only exist and perpetuate as long as there are always more and more borrowers coming in at the bottom of the system to allow the creation of new revenue.
All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Mike in Wyoming. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. I wanted to follow up on something Mike Rivero said about getting around the 13th Amendment, and which was true as far as he went. Basically, you do volunteer in. I heard this from an old Air Force buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. The way you get around it, at least in the past, and I think this is still probably valid, when they when they ask you, all right, everyone who volunteers, you know, take two steps forward or whatever, you do an about face and take three steps backwards. And probably you're going to have a sergeant in your face for the next 48, 72 hours barking at you and trying to make you feel like you're the scum of the earth. But they can't force you to volunteer is the bottom line.
But the thing is that they're going to file charges against you. It's just like
No, they're not going to file charges against you. They may try to get you into some kind of a other you know, conscientious objector type status and do some kind of charity work, but they can't force you to volunteer.
You know, I just don't say, you know, I think it's just like that argument of common law and the IRS, the people that are out there. I mean, there is no real law in the book for the, you know,
well, there's
federal
there's
income
similarity.
Tax, but, you know, they're going to come after you with the IRS and the military.
No, Jason,
if they, I'm just saying if they come out with a mass conscription for people where they say conscription's happening and you get in line, you say, I'm not going to do it, they're going to throw you in the brig, man. I find it hard pressed that they're just going to let you go. And we know that they want to build a domestic civil force. I mean, that's what Homeland Security was about, being brought in after 9/11. You know, that's just one facet of it. I mean, we have Homeland Security offices right around the corner of the new office. I mean, it's an expanded bureaucracy. So I can see them giving you the choice of whether you want to serve in the armed forces or you want to serve domestic surveillance at home. But I don't think they're going to give you the choice to just walk away. It won't be just I don't believe like they're just going to try to, you know, convince you to take one or the other. I think that they're going to basically say you do this or you're going to jail or you're going to military prison or you're going to regular prison. Mike, what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think looking back at the case of Aaron Watada, he was absolutely legally in the right to refuse to serve in a war that he felt was illegal. That was a principle. It's in the U.S. Uniform Code of Military Justice. It is the principle that came out of the Nuremberg war trials, and yet they kept prosecuting and prosecuting and prosecuting him, just trying to wear him down.
Exactly. They have unlimited funds, and it doesn't matter to them if you're going to have to, you know, spend your car payment or your house payment to try to fight these guys. They'll fight you tooth and nail. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Way up north to Alaska. Go north for us, your song.
Go north, the rush is on.
Big Sam. All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. With us, Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com, streaming live from the web over at PrisonPlanet.tv. Again, I love the new office. I love how we're expanding. It's just the coolest. I get to sit in for Alex Jones for a week anyway. Then we get to have these great guests on, and the technology just keeps getting better and better and better. Mike Rivero also in my latest film, Fabled Enemies. You can get that over at Infowars.com. Or if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, you can watch it free, streaming the web, download it, burn it to disk, hand it out to your friends. I think it's an important film. It really lays out the International Intelligence Agency that carried out 9/11. You know, it goes away from the physical anomalies. It shows that there's another story out there other than controlled demolition and World Trade Center Building 7, although that's obviously part of it. Mike, in the final segment we have you here, I'd really like you just to go over the Gaza situation, the latest updates and what's happening there, and, you know, basically how we can put pressure on our government to really try to solve what's going on there instead of just taking the side of the Israelis blindly and promoting all this expansionism and imperialism. How is it that our voice can be heard?
Well, that is a very, very difficult question, because I think it's been made very clear to the United States people that Congress is not listening to us anymore. They certainly didn't with the bailout. This last week, both houses of Congress stood up and unanimous in the Senate, voted approval for what Israel is doing. And the bottom line as far as Israel and Gaza is concerned is Israel likes to pretend they own that land in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. They do not. It belongs to the Palestinians. United Nations Resolution 242 has ordered Israel out of the occupied territories, and Israel does not want to go because they covet that land. Now, the bottom line is, for the last 60 years, we've had all of this tremendous misery, war, killing, tremendous upset coming out of the Middle East, and it all comes down to one and only one cause. Israel demands for itself the right to exist and the right to a state, but denies that same right to its neighbors. And that is really the heart of this entire conflict. Israel will not grant to others that which it demands for itself. All Israel has to do to bring peace to the Mideast is simply grant to the Palestinians their right to exist and their right to a state. That was the original plan in the United Nations partition plan, for there to be an Israeli nation and a Palestinian nation. And Israel said, we will not go along with that. David Ben-Gurion then proclaimed Israel to be in existence and said, we do not acknowledge Palestine's right to exist, whereupon the other Arab nations said, well, if you're not going to acknowledge Palestine's right to exist, we don't acknowledge your right to exist. And that is the root cause of all of the unhappiness from now, from then till now. Israel has a double standard. They want to exist, fine. They want a nation, that's fine. But they won't give it to the Palestinians. And that is really the root cause of all of the problem.
How do you see it all ending? I mean, what do you think is going to be? Do you think it's going to be a global conflict in the Middle East where a Eurasian Union is born and really Israel has the central role in governing that that area?
I know that's certainly what Israel would like to see happen, and I think Israel would not mind at all if the United States and Russia got into a mutually destructive war, which left Israel with its nuclear arsenal able to project power over that half of the world, at least. So as to what's really going to happen, time alone will solve that mystery.
All right, Michael Rivera, thank you so much for spending an hour with us. It's whatreallyhappened.com. Folks, we're going to be back at the top of the hour with Ray McGovern, 26-year CIA analyst. We're going to continue to take your calls in the final hour. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is the beginning of the third hour of the show. January 14th, 2009. I am Jason Burmes, sitting in all week for Alex Jones. And our guest now is Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst for over 25 years. And really what I'd like to talk to him about today is the incoming Obama administration. We're 6 days away. Some of the appointments, I know that Mr. McGovern is no fan of Robert Gates, who will be staying on as Secretary of Defense. And I want to get his take also on his Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel. You've definitely been very outspoken about the Gaza-Israeli situation, so I'd really like to hear what you think about that appointment. And, of course, I want to talk about this new book called American Grit, which is calling for conscription, one of the lead editors over at the Washington Times. Mr. McGovern, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Jason?
Good, good. So right off the bat, are you happy with most of the appointments of the Obama administration? Are you not happy? What do you think?
Well, I guess my attitude is wait and see here. I was unhappy for quite some time, and then I was quite happy with Leon Panetta's naming as the new CIA director. Mm-hmm. Because for once we have a person there with a certain clout, as Obama himself said, and a well-earned reputation for impeccable integrity. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that have been missing for lo these, let's see, 1980, so that's, 28 years, and we dearly need to have it back. Admiral Stansfield Turner, who was appointed by Jimmy Carter to be his director of Central Intelligence, is the last person who combined not only personal integrity, but with a managerial sense, and was able to manage that very far-flung operation.
And for people not familiar with Panetta, Panetta was Clinton's chief of staff, correct?
He was for a couple of years, but his real claim to fame was eight terms in Congress from California. He became head of the Budget Committee. He was also head of the Office of Management and Budget for a while. Before that, and this is interesting, he was a Republican working under Nixon in the Civil Rights Department of the Health, Education, and Welfare Department. And when it became clear to, when it was made clear to Leon Panetta that, you know, civil rights, this was not really the thrust of what Nixon wanted to achieve with his so-called Southern strategy, and that Panetta really ought to lay back, you know, sort of take a vacation, like a very long four-year one. Panetta, to his great credit, up and quit, and actually later became a Democrat. Ran for Congress from the Monterey part of California, and by all accounts, did a bang-up job.
And he and his wife, I believe, run an institute right now, too, so I guess that is one of the appointments that you're looking forward to. What about the Gates situation, though? It looks like he's going to stay on for at least another year. Obama himself has talked about a redistribution of forces into Afghanistan, says we need more troops there as we de-escalate in Iraq. What's your view on that?
Well, Gates has always been a problem to me, not only because he's such a rank careerist, but also because his substantive sense is not good. Witness the fact that when he was working for me, he had his PhD in Russian history, and yet he didn't get it when the Soviet Union started to fall apart. And he and his mentor, William Casey, then the director of the CIA, thought and told Reagan that, oh, this fellow got a bit off, he's just he's just a commie, like all the rest of them. The Soviet Party, Communist Party of the Soviet Union would never lose its place, and so don't worry about him. It's going to be the same. He missed the big one.
All right, we're talking to Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after the break. Infowars.com and live streaming video at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. We're sitting and talking to Ray McGovern over at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. And Mr. McGovern, you know, to get away from Gates, let's talk about the Israeli situation right now. You know, I'd like you to give an overview of what's happening in Israel over the last few weeks, all up until today when there's a new tape out of supposedly bin Laden, you know, taking the plight of the Palestinian people. And I believe that's put out there. For anybody that speaks out against Israeli aggression, they're automatically, you know, associated with the boogeyman, Osama bin Laden. What are your views?
Well, that's an interesting observation. Certainly, those who oppose what the Israelis are doing now are can easily be rhetorically linked to the baddest of the bad, huh?
Yeah, just today.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole business here boils down to the fact that the Israelis could not do any of this without the full support of the Bush government. And that is the saddest thing on earth here. What's happening is a massacre there. You know, people talk about the Gazans running out of water. I just got a message here from Gaza saying there is no potable water in Gaza, period. There's a small aquifer, and it's very small. It's too polluted to drink, and it's used to irrigate what little agriculture there is left. You know, that 1970s era treaty with Sadat, Begin, and Carter, that gave the Israelis the sole right to supply Gaza with water as well as with electrical power. And the Gazans are out of both, period. And so this is, you know, this is a pogrom of you know, massive proportions. And here we are supplying the F-16s, the helicopter gunships, the tanks, the Caterpillar bulldozers made in Peoria, Illinois. And we are doing that. And what we are doing is not only massacring the Gazans or making it possible for the Israelis to do that, but it's on TV every night to 1.3 billion, and I repeat, billion, Muslims in the world. And, you know, this is not the way to curb the so-called war on terror. This is the excellent way to make the recruiting lines before Al-Qaeda and every other terrorist organization longer than they have ever been before.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the war on terror, because that was my next point. The new cover story over at Newsweek is Obama's Cheney problem. And, you know, just from the web article that I printed, it's over 3 pages long. And it basically takes the stance that Obama should not give up any of the executive privileges that were given to the Bush administration under, you know, Bush and Cheney. All these, you know, we can torture, we can do this. I mean, it literally makes the case for torture being a good thing. It says, well, the lines are pretty gray and you can sit there and say that you can't get real information, but that's not exactly so. Do you think that this incoming administration, first of all, will rescind any of that power, or should they?
Well, what I'd like to do is clarify what I conceive to be the situation here, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of rescinding that power. That power was illegally employed. There's no constitutional or other statutory authority for torture or for eavesdropping of the kind that took place right after 9/11. And so it's not a matter of rescinding things. There is one thing that Obama should actually rescind, is not the word again, but he should issue a new executive order which says we will abide by Geneva, we will not torture people, we will not condition our abiding by Geneva on other extraneous factors, and we will close Guantanamo. He needs to do that. He needs to do that right away. And one of the good things here, and one of the pluses of Panetta being named as head of the CIA, is that he is outspoken in saying what everybody believed before 8 years ago, and that is we simply can't suspend American ideals here in the name of supposed national security. You know, we either believe in the dignity of the individual and the rule of law and the prohibition of cruel and unhuman punishment, or we don't. There isn't any middle ground. And so what I hope Obama will do is make that clear from the outset, and that everybody, from the vice president on down, will have clear standards to guide themselves by, which has not been the case for the last 8 years.
Well, I hope and pray that you're right. I don't know if that is going to be the case. I mean, with Rahm Emanuel coming in as chief of staff, this is a guy that's called for some type of military conscription, you know, basically saying people 18 to 25 will do 3 months of basic training, and then, you know, what military outfit they'll be put into, whether it's the Army or something domestic, is another question. But you now have a new book by one of the Washington Times editors, American Grit, where he's calling for the same thing. And he's been calling for this now for the last couple of years. He was on MSNBC in 2007 saying
Blankley.
This on what's that? Tom Blankley?
Blankley? Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Blankley. And he was talking about how they needed conscription, and then he said that it would not happen under this administration, meaning the Bush administration. And I can understand that, because there was such an outcry. You know, Congress had like a 13% approval rating. You know, I'd say 70%, 80% of the population knew that they were just being lied to outright. Most people don't think, you know, including even Letterman, that Cheney gives a damn about America or people in this country. But under Obama, you know, there's this certain hope, and you know, he has this positive persona in the media. Do you think, number one, that it's dangerous having Rahm Emanuel as the chief of staff, and number two, that conscription is likely under his administration?
Well, on this kind of thing, Jason, I defer to the domestic politics experts here. People tell me without any hesitation that conscription, a draft, renewal of the draft is out of the picture. It can't be tolerated domestically. Now, I don't know what that says in speaking of the American people. If there were another Hitler to arise, I would hope that the American people would rise to the occasion. But that seems to be the accepted political or conventional wisdom, and we'll just take that for what it is. Now,
mm-hmm.
I will sort of append a little corollary there. I have always been unalterably opposed to the so-called volunteer army. I served in the army for 2 years, and I served together with doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and everybody from Georgia to, you know, to the hallowed sanctums of Harvard. We were all put in that mix together. We were army officers, infantry, and intelligence, and
we were defending the country in relative peacetime just before Vietnam started. But we were all in there together, and we all recognized that we had this duty to spend 2 years doing this. And there's a melting pot effect there. There's a real disincentive to get involved in wars. Witness the fact that when we were in Vietnam, a lot of the opposition came from members of Congress who had sons or cousins or brothers, or they themselves were in Vietnam and saw what was going on. Once you farm this out, so to speak, once you contract it out to folks who do not have the opportunities most of us do, the ones from the farms, the ones from the cities or towns less than 50,000, which is the majority of our armed services personnel now, then you have a totally different situation. You have a kind of a hired hand approach to this thing of people who join for reasons other than protecting the country. I don't fault them for that, but that's just the reality. And so there's a little pitch for me as to why conscription ordinarily, or a draft, or obligatory two-year service should be part of our woodwork here in this country. Now,
so that's kind of like, before I go back to that, that's kind of like the Charlie Rangel approach, where he was trying to pass a bill to have conscription by saying, you know, the war in Iraq would end because, you know, congressmen's sons and daughters would be eligible for the draft. That was kind of the position he took, yes?
That's exactly right, yeah. And, you know, he was being a little cynical there because he knew that would never fly.
Mm-hmm.
But if that were the case before the war in Iraq, you know, and real people, I mean, people from various parts of life here, people who have experience in academia and business and law firms and so forth, if everyone was equally vulnerable or liable for this draft, you would have real second thoughts about sending people willy-nilly off to a godforsaken, unnecessary war.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Rangel's embarrassed everybody by making that point. And I think it's a point that really needs to be made because, you know, if you look at the people making decisions for this war, who are they? Well, they're a bunch of very privileged, very rich, very wealthy, and very well-connected people, all except for one person, who Condoleezza Rice says she's a woman. She looks like a woman, but she doesn't much act like one. What you need, what you need are mothers. Mothers with actual children, flesh and blood children, who know what it's like to lose a child. Mothers up there in the cabinet helping to make these decisions. And I'll tell you what will happen. There'll be much, much less frivolous decision making in terms of going to this or that war, or throwing this group of paratroopers out this window and so forth. And that's what Obama should do now, in my view. He should convene a council of not just wise men, as we used to always say, but wise men and women, women of the kind I just mentioned, not of the kind of Madeleine Albright or Condoleezza Rice, mothers, people who would get together and piece through what it really means, what our stakes in Iraq, what our stakes in Afghanistan, if any, really are, and then trim the policies accordingly.
All right, well, there you go. You segue into my next question. You said, if any, in Afghanistan. Obama says we need to send more troops there. We've set now a supposed real timetable to get troops all the way out of Iraq, I believe, by the end of 2011. I don't think that's actually going to happen, but I do think there'll be a de-escalation there. But I really see most of those troops moving into Afghanistan. What's your view on that? Oh, hold on. We're about to go to break, Ray. I thank you so much for joining us. Folks, it's Ray McGovern, 25-plus year CIA analyst under the Reagan administration and others. This is the Alex Jones Show. You can see us live right now at PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind.
All right, folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in all week long, and my latest film is Fabled Enemies. You can get it right now over at Infowars.com. You can also get other great titles like Endgame and 9/11 Chronicles Truth Rising. Right now we're discussing what the future holds for Afghanistan with CIA veteran Ray McGovern. And, you know, again, in my viewpoint, it really looks like a redistribution of forces in the Middle East. I really just don't see U.S. power leaving there completely, especially with the rising tensions in India and Pakistan, especially. What's your take on what's going on over there, Ray?
I think you're turning in the right direction there, Jason. You know, people asked me during the campaign, why is it that Barack Obama is so eager to make Afghanistan his, well, he doesn't realize it, but make it his Vietnam, or his Iraq, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no percentage in it at all. Why is he doing this? Well, I'm no expert on domestic politics, but I guess I figured, well, he thinks he needs to say those things to win the election. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's won the election. They are trimming their sails a little bit. I do hope that they will convene this kind of commission or study group or group of wise men and women to reassess what our equities there, what our objectives are. But I hope, too, that they'll look into the history of Afghanistan because, you know, what people should know, you know, people who admire warriors and conquerors like Alexander the Great, you know, he tried Afghanistan. He was just trying to get to China, right? But as soon as he got into Afghanistan, he got such a bloody nose that they drove him back, these insurgents, you know, these militants, they drove him back. The year was 329 of the Common Era, okay? And I have to do a play on words here. It was a common error, too, because since then the British, the Russians, and now we in NATO are trying to repeat the same error that happened in 329 of the current era. Now, what happened, of course, was he was trying to get to China, but he couldn't get through Afghanistan because the same incredibly ferocious folks who don't like their land invaded were there at the time. Then you fast forward how many centuries here? We're talking now 1800s. So, what, 1,500 years later, the British decide, well, they're going to do it. Why? Well, because the emir or whoever it was that was ruling some of Afghanistan there in Kandahar and Kabul, they seemed to be a little too close to the Russians, and that would imperil the British dominion in India. And so the British, you know, they could do what they wanted in the 19th century, so they sent 16,500 troops into Afghanistan. And guess what? They didn't prevail, and this white stuff started coming down from the sky and was very, very cold. And it was just like Napoleon going into Russia. They tried to get out of Afghanistan, and guess what? Every one of those 16,500 men were killed, save one who lived to tell the tale. So we're talking now, not 329, we're talking 1839, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, after that, the British kept going back in there. There were huge reprisals, lots of people massacred in Kabul, and they played around with this right through the First World War. Into the Second World War, the RAF was still bombing places in Afghanistan. Where did it get them? Zilch. The Russians, as we all know, spent a decade trying to prevail, whatever that means, in Afghanistan, were finally driven out, and that was a contributing factor to the implosion of the Soviet Union. So now, we're going to go into Afghanistan. We're going to go in there with, not 32,000, but maybe 30,000 more, 62,000. Give me a break. Look at that country. You know, if you flattened Afghanistan, you know how big it would be? Big as China, for Pete's sake. It's an incredibly mountainous place. It's incredibly difficult to, quote, prevail in Afghanistan. So what I dearly hope, is that Obama will sit down with people who know something about the area, the Robert Fisks of this world, the people who have lived there and tasted Afghanistan, sit down and learn what's really going on there and not depend on people like Bobby Gates. You know, I'll tell you a little vignette. When he was my analyst there for the Middle East, he had a little sense of humor, and he'd say, with Afghanistan, I remember C.W. Fields, what he said when, you know, I was spent 2 weeks in Afghanistan one time, lost my corkscrew, terrible country, terrible time, okay? Well, you know, that's symptomatic of what it is when you get there. Whether you lose your corkscrew or not, you're going to lose your rear end. And they ought to stay out of there and tamp down that conflict.
All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be taking your calls on the other side for Ray McGovern and myself. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. Lots of breaking news, big articles over at Infowars.com right now. And, of course, we're streaming live via the internet at PrisonPlanet.tv. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, is my guest. We're going to go to your calls this segment. Hopefully you will stay on topic and I won't get any wild ones like I did in the first hour. All right, let's go to, I believe, we are on Mike in Wyoming. Mike, what's on your mind? Maria in Germany. Maria, what's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I'd like. Thanks so much for your show. I'd like to talk about the bloodlines of Dracula.
And the All right, that'll be for another day. Thank you so much. Can we stay on topic here, folks? Please, I'm begging you. Someone give me something on topic. We've got a new administration coming in 6 days. We've got a possible world war about to erupt in the Middle East. I mean, we're talking about not only the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but we've got Joe Biden overseas trying to smooth things over with Pakistan after the Mumbai attacks led back to Pakistani intelligence. This is what I want to talk about. Okay, I want to talk about what's going on, not the bloodlines of Dracula. My God. All right, let's go to TD in California. TD, what's on your mind?
How's it going? Yeah, I got a question and a comment.
Okay.
On topic, I hope.
Okay.
Question: If we do pull out of the war, God willing, everything works out, what happens to all those well-trained, intelligent, armed, educated soldiers when they come home and we don't have jobs out here?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm wondering. First of all, I don't think that we're going to pull out of that many military conflicts that won't redistribute our troops anyway. But what do you think? Say we do pull out of the war and there's no jobs here. Well, what is going to happen, Mr. McGovern?
Well, with all that money that we have already given to Wall Street and are now giving to other folks, including the auto companies, we create jobs. I mean, this is possible. We have to get out of this war mentality, and we have to get the military-industrial complex, which is very real, by the way, which is very, very real, get them to retool. God knows we need alternative sources of energy. We need wind, solar. We need smart ways to build cars so they don't use up so much fuel. And there are all kinds of ways that our economy would keep going and actually be buttressed for the long run by a huge public works expenditures and other ways to put people to work.
Are you optimistic that the economy is going to recover? I mean, we got Bernanke yesterday calling for more bailouts. Citigroup, you know, they're saying it's in death throes, but its mortgage department has already been absorbed by Morgan Stanley. I see, you know, a consolidation of banks, and I see a consolidation of power for the people that print the money in the Federal Reserve System. You know, Kucinich being on the floor saying that the Federal Reserve is as Federal Express is dead on. And I'm pretty worried that we might get suckered into yet another bailout, and there isn't a lot of hope for our economic future.
Well, you're talking about the old crowd, and one additional reason for concern, of course, is that some of the old crowd has, for whatever reason, insinuated itself into the Obama crowd. We'll just have to see on that. The country is really and truly in dire straits, and I think that what is called for here is the kind of leadership that a new person, a person who has won an overwhelming mandate, might be able to lead us into, and we'll just have to see. I'm not an expert on the economy, but just to see how it works out.
All right. Any other points, TD?
Actually, on interpreting that Metallica video yesterday, I thought it was a lot less about Russia, even though it gave concrete evidence about Russia. And just to tie it in with the end radio stuff or the newsreel at the end of the video.
Yeah, the newsreels they played, sure.
Yeah, just to tie it in with that, I think it's a lot more. It just reminded me of Cobra, man. First they try to be like us, then they attack us.
Well, I got in so much trouble just for playing that Metallica song on the air. Some of the Christian affiliates out there just can't take a little bit of metal. But when you have a video that's not only talking about the eugenics aspect, but then also brings chemtrails into the mix by the number one metal band of all time, and really one of the number one rock bands of all time, Metallica, I think it's worth playing. I thank you for the call, TD. All right, let's jump to Ken in Texas. Ken, what's on your mind?
Hey, Ken.
Thank you, Jason.
You got it.
I want to make a comment and then ask Ray McGovern a question, if that's all right.
Sure thing.
We keep talking about the Obama administration, not only your show, the show I listened to before, and his administration, as I said. Attorney Philip J. Berg has proved definitively on ObamaCrimes.com that Obama is definitely not eligible to be president of the United States. Ray McGovern, couldn't he be blackmailed by other countries?
What he's referring to, obviously, and I'm sure you've heard this, I mean, you're on the talk radio circuit somewhat, is whether or not he was born in Hawaii and why he wasn't able to show his birth certificate. There is some controversy. He may have been born in Kenya. And, you know, I'm sure you've looked around that. I mean, what are your views on those theories?
Yeah, well, Jason, this is not the kind of thing that I waste a lot of time with.
Mm-hmm.
It suffices for me to hear that that this has been looked into, and people I respect indicate that there are some peculiarities with the way Hawaii handles original copies of birth certificates, and that it's just a fluke that his was not readily accessible.
I hear you. I mean, I think more to the point is the fact that, you know, I think what works against us possibly with the Obama administration, himself included, is that he does take more of an internationalist point of view. You know, I was watching, you know, a couple of his interviews with CNN, and this is a guy that's, you know, grown up around the world. And I'm just not sure that he's going to have just the United States' best interests at heart. I mean, the media has called him the next global president, the way he's been deified on the cover of the Rolling Stone, his speech in Berlin. I think that stuff is a lot more relevant than whether, you know, I mean, we could sit here and argue all day whether he's a natural citizen or not. I think, you know, let's see if the proof is in the pudding. I'm disturbed that it was a state senator, you know, who got into the Senate for one term, and by 2007 he had already announced his candidacy for the president and won. And this is virtually an unknown. This is a guy who's not proven, and I guess we're going to see in 6 days whether he's the leader that all these people voted for or not, or just another front man. I mean, some again, Rahm Emanuel makes me quite uneasy. All right, let's jump to the next
call. Let me just chime in there, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are all kinds of ways of looking at being a internationalist or not.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it, and you can take it for what it's worth, is that in this day and age, one needs to have a certain sensitivity to what's going on in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe in a shorthand slogan, I can simply say that it would be really neat if when Obama has finished his speech on Tuesday, he finished with not God bless America, but God bless America and the rest of the world, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the attitude we need to adopt, you know? We can't be sitting here and watch the Israelis kill over 1,000 now Gazans in a kind of shooting pool, and not be concerned about that and not move to stop it. And yet we Americans have been kind of educated to say, well, you know, we're America first people, and we only care about our interests, and, you know, it's too bad about those Gazans. Well, that's not the proper approach, in my view, not only morally but politically, and I felt I need to say that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think that, you know, a lot of the dehumanization that occurs for people outside of this country is just plain wrong. But at the same time, I am an America first guy in that I really think that we have to clean up the mess here before we go into an Afghanistan, you know, full force again. Or
no quarrel there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it to me, again, we'll see, but the way that he's talking about global citizenship, sacrifice and service, I really feel like we're getting set up for something here. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, let's jump to Michael in the Netherlands. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Jason, I want to thank you for taking my call. Although this is the Alex Jones show, I think you're going a little bit soft on Ray McGovern. You know, once CIA, always CIA.
Oh, come on.
So,
You know, let me cut you off for a second. You know, Ray has done this show on many an occasion. He's given me a personal interview a couple years ago. He's one of the most outspoken people I've seen in the anti-war movement in years. He confronted Rumsfeld, for God's sakes. And I know that Ray's heart is in the right place. And, you know, anybody who doubts that, listen, I know that once CIA, always CIA. That's not always the case. You know, there are a lot of good people that work within these intelligence organizations, not only the CIA, but the FBI, the NSA, and they really are trying to work for our best interests. It's only the upper echelon, the top of the cream, that really does some of this revolting, tyrannical stuff. And I mean, you know, Mr. McGovern, you worked in the agency for years and years and years. Isn't that the case? Aren't most people really looking out for the best interests of the people in those organizations?
Most of the people down the line, as you explained it, they certainly are. It's the corrupt leaders that have been foisted upon us that have us involved in things like prostituting the intelligence process, corrupting the product, and worse still, torturing people, kidnapping them, and putting them in black holes without telling their wives or children or even the Red Cross. So, there have been abuses. There are lots of us still around and some still in the agency who are trying to correct those abuses. And the naming of Leon Panetta is a milestone in this, and I dearly hope that he can get the agency back on track.
And personally, I'm just thankful that we can get all sorts of views. I'm thankful that a Ray McGovern will do this show because I'm here to hear all voices. They may not agree with me 100% on every nuance, but that can't be expected because I don't agree with Alex Jones on every nuance. We're all different people. I think when we stop listening to other people's opinion, that's the real danger. I thank you for the call, Michael. Let's go to John in California. John, what's on your mind? You with us,
hey
John?
There, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on people that don't believe in this collapse of the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
My mother recently came back from Mexico, and she went to three different banks that would not take her dollars anymore. So
well,
you have to
coming.
Go to these private toll houses to exchange your dollars.
I think that once you saw... I think it's now almost a year ago when you saw the dollar go on parity with the Canadian dollar, and now the Canadian dollar is just worth slightly more. And you saw how much less you got in Mexico when you brought American dollars down there. You better believe people are going to stop taking that currency. Listen, that's why it's important to get hard currency. I'm a big gold and silver guy. Personally, I can't afford gold, but silver I can afford. Midas Resources, man, protect yourself. We've been, you know, preaching that for years and years on this show. I remember when I was just a listener to this show back in 02 and 03, and gold was still at 300 some odd dollars an ounce, and it's more than doubled that in less than 10 years, and in really less than 6 years. It's amazing to me. So it's always good to be protected. I would not be keeping a whole lot of money in the bank right now. I mean, that's just the way it is. Who knows what's going to be announced in the next couple of weeks? Who knows how many bailouts will pass, what banks will go under? I mean, the Depression actually happened. There were runs on banks. It's happened in the past, and if there's anything I've learned is that we tend to like to repeat the past because we don't know about it, and most people remain so ignorant about how the financial process currently works that I think that's what we're in store for. All right, let's jump to Michael in Massachusetts. Michael, what's on your mind? You with us?
Hey, I am. How's it going, gentlemen? Hey,
good.
Michael. Hey, Ray. I wanted to kind of, I don't know, ask you a quick question. I listened to what you say, and, you know, a lot of what you say is interesting. I saw that Rumsfeld confrontation, and Mark went down for the good guys. That was definitely embarrassing towards him and fired me up. But when I hear you talk about, you know, saying, oh, I just, you know, I want to see Obama get a group of wise men to really, like, go over the problems and see if we can figure something out. It almost seems like you don't know about, like, Bohemian Grove and all the totally just, like, ludicrous banana morals that these people are working under. I mean, do you understand that it's like a Machiavellian thing where, you know, they don't give a damn about people? It's just, you know, ends justifies the means?
All right, let me ask him that question. I mean, obviously, you know, you do these radio shows. You've heard about the secret societies. You know, outside of Bohemian Grove, I'm sure that you wouldn't argue that, you know, when people go to these Bilderberg conferences or Davos or even, you know, trilateral meetings, these are meetings that aren't often made public or the results of which aren't often made public, and decisions are made there. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. McGovern?
Sure. I mean, you're absolutely right. The question is whether Barack Obama would ever be invited to Bohemian Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the guys that went there because I used to brief them, and that mm-hmm. includes relatively well-balanced people like George Shultz, of all people. Okay?
Yes, George Shultz is a member,
so,
absolutely.
So they go up there and they cavort in the nude, and I don't know what else they do, but and Bilderberg, yeah, that's exactly right. The question is whether Barack Obama is in that coterie of privileged, wealthy folks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to believe that he's not. Mm-hmm. I think his whole past shows that he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I take great encouragement from that, to think that when he convenes a little wise men and women circle, it won't include these guys. It will include people like us, people who know which end is up in Afghanistan, in Iraq, academics, people from the press, not from the fawning corporate press here in the States, but from the international press, and get himself educated. And so, you know, I take your point, Michael, but I had not the foggiest notion that any of those folks would resemble in any way, shape, or form the Bohemian Grove or Bilderberg kinds of folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know my listeners will yell at me if I don't make you aware, but this year it does appear that, you know, when Barack Obama ditched his press entourage right after he had got the nomination, that he and Hillary Clinton were meeting in a secret location in D.C. first to see, he said Hillary's house, then it wasn't Hillary's house, then later it was Dianne Feinstein's house, you know, 5 miles away from where Bilderberg was held this year. You know, you take it for what it's worth. I don't trust them. But then again, you know, I don't trust most of the establishment these days, and I don't think that, you know, especially people listening to this program, but I don't think most people do. You want to be optimistic. You want to hope that this is the great change that everybody's talking about it. But, you know, just like you, I try to take everything with a grain of salt, and we'll see when the proof is in the pudding. Guys, we're 6 days away. Like you said, Mr. McGovern, you'd like to hear him reach out to the rest of the world in this inaugural speech. Do you think that's happened? Do you think that there is a chance that we can reach out to the rest of the world and maybe solve some of the problems we've had over the last 8 years?
Well, the world is waiting. That's clear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, never before has there been such a one-sided acclamation of a newly elected president. I mean, just it's just mind-boggling. We can't hope to understand what it means for people abroad. And the question will be, really, whether he can break the shackles of the establishment here in a way that will not derail him, in a way that will not get him shot, in a way that will allow him to make political progress here. And, you know, I think the jury is out. It's very appropriate to be skeptical, and particularly of someone like Hillary Clinton, who has earned that kind of skepticism. Obama, for me, is kind of tabula rasa so far. I mean, he's got a lot of good stuff, a lot of questionable stuff, particularly with his appointments to the defense sector. But let's see what he does. And I think I have it's reasonable to be hopeful as well as reserved and cynical.
Thank you so much for joining us this hour, Mr. McGovern. Guys, we bring it all.
No, okay.
Thank you so much. And, you know, we take the hard questions here. We take the callers. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. Look, I feel bad for cutting off that woman in Germany because she's from Germany. If you want to talk about Dracula's bloodlines, we'll talk about it. You can call back in. We're taking calls for the next hour here on the Alex Jones Show. Yes, it appears that both Bush and Kerry, on some level, are descendants of, you know, basically the guy who Dracula's based on. It's true. Great. All right. That's not what I want to talk about when I have Ray McGovern on. I want to talk about intelligence issues. I want to talk about global politics. You know, if we had Tex Mars on, that's great. You know, we can talk about that. If we had someone like Fritz Springmeier, 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati, you can get that at Infowars.com. It's interesting info. But come on, folks. You know, I mean, I feel like, you know, because I'm in for Alex Jones, the attack dogs are coming on. I mean, I have people talking about race wars. Let me tell you a little something about the race wars. Not going to happen, genius. If you're still caught up in race having anything to do with the world elite or the power elite, and we need to kill the blacks or the Jews or anybody who's not white, this isn't the program to call into, because I don't want to hear that nonsense. It's total garbage. And if you're a part of that organization, or one of those like not neo-Nazi organizations, or one of those anti-Semitic organizations, one of the hardcore ones like that really does hate people based on their race, you know, it's time to look in the mirror and really see why you hate yourself, you retard. I mean, how can you have hate for somebody not based on the content of their character but the color of their skin? I'm a Martin Luther King Jr. fan. I don't know about you. I feel like you should get to know somebody before you automatically dislike them. Call me nuts. All right. It's open phone lines for the next hour. Let's go to DeWitt in Texas. DeWitt. Or is that Dwight? Okay, Dwight, what's on your mind?
I was calling to make a correction about something you said on the show yesterday.
Okay.
In regards to the Mythbusters article.
Okay, yeah.
That
yeah.
article is actually a hoax printed on the web, so that's not going to happen.
Happening.
If you go to the Mythbusters forum, it says that it's inappropriate to talk about those comments. And I also just wanted to bring up something mm-hmm. since you just said that, you know, you need to get to know somebody before you really hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to bring up an article that I saw on the Loose Change forums. It was entitled, "It's Snowing in Hell," and it was right after Tony Snow had passed away. It was a really scathing article that you posted yourself, and I was wondering.
Oh, really
if you had
scathing? Oh, hold on. It was two paragraphs, and you can bring it up, and it wasn't scathing at all. I said, I think my entitlement.
Well, you deleted it from your page the next day.
Well, I did. I said it was like first of all, a scathing article. It was a two paragraph blog line. And
basically defaming Tony Snow.
Tony Snow is not a good person, bro. Tony Snow was a Fox News anchor, hold on, who then got appointed to Bush's press secretary, who spewed lie after lie, not only in the press on the podium, but when I would tune into Bill Maher on HBO, he'd spew lie after lie there. Look, Tony Snow, not a good person. I'm not crying over his death.
You thought it was so inappropriate that you had to remove it from your blog immediately.
I didn't pull it. Someone else
pulled it.
Okay,
so other people that you... Yeah, so it was so inappropriate that it wasn't able to stay on your blog.
Listen, no, not true at all. I don't think it was inappropriate one bit. So, I based my article by the content of that man's character, not the color of his skin, not his position.
All
I'm doing is posting what I felt about a person who lied to the American people and lied to the world and caused thousands and thousands of people overseas, and guess what? In this country, too, yes, military forces to die. To die. He is not a good man. Although I do like calls that challenge my position. Thanks for the call, Dwight. We're going to keep taking your calls. It's the Alex Jones Show. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. And final hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes, sitting in all week. We've cut transmission over at PrisonPlanet.tv, but remember, if you missed any of the show today, you can retune in an hour from now, and we'll be rebroadcasting all 4 hours. Really a jam-packed show. Michael Rivero via the webcam, Ray McGovern. Boy, the callers just today are just unreal. It's like darts in the chest. They're looking to peg after the guests and the hosts. Before I keep taking your calls, and we're going to take calls for the entire hour, open phone lines. Hopefully, we'll stay somewhat on topic, but I'm more open to other calls. Alex Jones's Tyranny Crusher won a bullhorn, over $50,000. Of course, there are some people who are trying to spoil the pot and put in fake bids. Please don't put in fake bids. I know there are some people out there who have some deep pockets who listen to this program, and you know, not only do you get just an extraordinary piece of memorabilia, but you help this operation grow and expand and bring the truth to more and more people. You know, you want to hear inside information from a guy who worked with Robert Gates? You get that on this show. You want information about what's going on on the Gaza Strip. You get it on this show. You want to know what's really going down with the endless banker bailouts that we're having to endure? It's on this show. You know, it's not some mindless creed like, yes, we can. No, we have. That's what it is. No, we have. We've done it. We have continuously been at the tip of the spear, the forefront of the info war, and we'd like to continue to do so. All right, let's take our first caller of the hour. Let's go to B in Illinois. B, what's on your mind? You with us, B?
Hello.
Yes. Something on your mind, sir.
Chicago.
Yes. Okay.
You guys were talking earlier about Obama being from Kenya. If the guy was from Hawaii, we'll say hypothetically he was. You can look up online November 23rd of 93, Clinton signed Public Law 103-150, which basically acknowledges the illegal actions of the United States overthrowing a legitimate government, which means that Hawaii is not a state. So basically, even if he is from Hawaii or was born there, he's still not eligible as far as the Constitution goes to be president.
Well, I don't think he was. First of all, you know, whether or not he's eligible is almost a moot point, because let's say that the Constitution says he's not eligible, you know, and some court rules in favor of Phil Berg. I think that what they'll do is they'll have a constitutional amendment so that other foreigners, I don't think they're going to get rid of the guy no matter what. I think they'll further use it to progress their agenda, and you'll see somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger suddenly be available to run for office. You know, this guy is their cult leader. There's a reason he's on the cover of Us Weekly, you know, a rag for women. There's a reason he's on the cover of Rolling Stone, posed as a deity, because he is to be our next leader. He's our next leader. And, you know, I love Ray McGovern to death. I'm glad he does the show. I'm glad he'll come on and discuss a lot of this stuff with me. But I really think he is being somewhat naive with the Obama camp. Again, he's trying to stay optimistic and positive. I'm sure in a couple of months, when this administration has proven themselves as nothing but a tool of the elites, that he will come in and denounce them. So, you know, let's say it's true. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference in the long run. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Matthew in New Jersey. Matthew, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you that I agree with you. I think it'd be nice to hear a little bit more about the fact that it seems to me that we are being set up here with the Joe Biden speech about mark my words and all that garbage that he was talking about. And then you got basically the Colin Powell January 21st crisis, mm-hmm. when the news reporter that sat there didn't even bother to ask him anything more about it. And he didn't bother to even explain it to the people what that crisis may or may not be. It came to my attention that apparently, we all know that these guys are into astrology and numerology. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the 21st happens to be some alignment, planetary alignment in astrology that has to deal with the four horsemen and tragedy and all kinds of other stuff.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, they are into this esoteric stuff. They believe in it. These people that you think are Christian conservatives are really occultic paganists. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, remember, the rebroadcast begins at Infowars.com at the bottom of the hour. And if you missed any of it, the news blitz that came in the first hour, I mean, we talked bailout, we talked Citigroup, we talked Pakistan, we talked Bernanke, we talked Noriega, we talked Kerry, we talked about the new global warming czar for a moment. Yes, the World Socialist Group. That's good. We call for global governance. And of course, there's no problem with her being on the Obama administration, because that's what they'll be calling for. Something I didn't bring up with Ray McGovern, basically because he probably didn't know who that appointment was and is probably not up to date on that one. Oh, but you have Newsweek's cover story saying Obama's Cheney dilemma. You know, I'm just going to keep all of these executive orders, and rightfully so. McGovern got that dead on. He said that there's really nothing to rescind since all these laws were unconstitutional. All right, let's jump to our next caller. Let's go to Michael in Texas. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. I want to say I'm a big fan of yours. Back from, whenever I was first awakened, your movie, Loose Change, was one of the first movies that I had seen.
Awesome.
Wanted to get your idea or your thoughts on the Constitutional Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And what the odds are of that actually passing. I know they were only two states away from having them have the opportunity to rewrite our Constitution.
You know, con-cons are difficult. And there's definitely that threat, that possibility that they would use that. But I have found that we really haven't had many constitutional amendments lately. And the way that they circumvent that is they just pass executive orders. And through the National Security Act, they get things like the Patriot Acts 1 and 2 passed, the Military Commissions Act, which is just disgusting in every way, shape, or form. So I don't know if we're going to need a constitutional convention to get some of these pieces of legislation in place or ideas in place or laws in place, whatever you want to call them. I think that they're going to just keep circumventing that. And the only way that you'll see a constitutional amendment in this country is if, for some reason, Barack is outed as a non-natural citizen. But I really don't see that in the cards. I mean, these guys do what they want. I cannot see that, you know, being on ABC and NBC News. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, I'm not right all the time. Anything else, Michael?
No, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
All right, man. Thank you so much for the call. Let's jump to Tom in Pennsylvania. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. I got cut off here yesterday. I know you were running out of time, but I was talking about this was on the milk. And sorry to be off topic on this.
That's all right.
But when I was talking about you buying the cow, I'm not talking about you taking it home. I'm talking about you buy it from the farmer. He keeps the cow.
Mm-hmm.
You get a percentage of the milk. He uses the remainder of the milk. You get about 8 gallons a day out of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the remainder of that milk, sells it, or does whatever he wants to maintain your animal for you. And that way, when you go to the farm to get your milk, you're getting your milk. You're not buying milk from him.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great idea, too. Did you listen to there was a caller in the first hour of the show that actually was part of a program. I believe he was in Michigan, and the program was in Indiana or Illinois. And what you did is you bought the cow, and the farmer tended to it, and then he would ship them the milk and cheese from that cow. But again, that was stopped because he was selling it from state to state, and the same groups went after him as well.
Oh, well, I missed that. You know, I've been buying my milk from the same guy for the last 18 years, something like that.
And I bet you're pretty healthy. You're not worried about getting sick because it's not pasteurized, are you?
Oh, I'm 50-some years old, and I get around pretty well for all the broken bones I've had over the years. hey, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Hey, you got it, man. Hey, I think that's a great idea. I thought that the caller earlier today talking about that, you know, that's awesome. That is a way to try to get around it, but it just seems like the powers that be are going to keep going after the independent farmers no matter what loopholes you think you're going to find. And it's just like the IRS, man. They've got an unlimited amount of funds and resources to come after you. So they are going to make it as difficult as possible for you to try to defend your constitutional rights as an American citizen, the right to life, liberty, and happiness. And they're really going to challenge not only your will, but your wallet. And sometimes your wallet can't sustain that, especially in the economic times we're in now. All right, let's go to Daryl in Texas. Daryl, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, it's Daryl, man. I met you down there with Alex right after you had your tooth done.
Okay, all right, cool.
Hey, man. Hey, I wanted to bring up an interesting topic on this race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the election with Obama, I believe about half of the white people voted for him. Whereas I think 90% of people who are African Americans voted for Obama,
mm-hmm.
which I think begs the question then, who's really racist?
That's a good point, you know. Well, you know what I find? I find that, you know, these provocateur groups always seem to, like today I got the call, you know, when they kill Obama in the inaugural address, is the race war going to kick off? There's no race war going on. There's never going to be a race war in this country. I think that time of ignorance has passed. You know, there still remain a lot of racists out there. But, you know, I mean, you may disagree, but I really see the push of Obama into the youth culture. You know, not only with the magazine covers, but with the clothing line as a way to get us ready for some kind of new national service. And I think that's where me and Mr. McGovern are going to disagree. I don't think it's a great idea to have any kind of mandatory conscription, whether or not it's for the armed forces or a domestic unit. Yeah, you're going to build camaraderie with, you know, other people from other cultures, but can't we find a better way than enslaving, basically enslaving us and saying, this is the enemy. You know, he said, well, I hope that, it, you know, if another Hitler arose, that we would have the common sense to have conscription. I hate to tell him, but I feel like another Hitler arose in the last 8 years. And although it wasn't Bush, it was under the guise of that administration. And that same force, that same entity is going to be pulling me at strings with the same administration, this new one, the Obama administration. You think I'm off on that, Daryl?
No, I think you're right. I think this is what we could affectionately call government grad school. I mean, they're going to indoctrinate our kids in the public school as well as then continue that education and indoctrination in the social service of the government. And
I think it's going to be a lot easier to do. I was watching the Obama Youth Brigade video for the first time this week as I was gathering footage. And this isn't something that was a national program. This was a teacher at a public school who got all of his students to do this little youth march. In fact, we should bring that up. Hopefully they'll get the Obama Youth Brigade thing and we'll play it in the next thing. But these guys were saying, you know, basically saying their life goals, because of Obama, they can now do it. And they're all wearing Obama T-shirts and fatigues. It shows you the mindset of some of these disenfranchised youth. You know, this is the new leader.
Hey, I did want to mention one other thing. I'm sorry to kind of get off topic here, but you know, a while back in the first debate between Obama and McCain, they asked McCain, are we safer today than we were the day after 9/11? And he said, and I quote, Joe Lieberman and I started the 9/11 commission, and we were stymied and stifled by the Bush administration, and it wasn't until the families came forward demanding there be an investigation that one went forward. So I just kind of want to put this call out there to all the people who, like yourself or Luke or other people with We Are Change or, you know, who are interviewing, if you happen to run into McCain, you might quote him on that, you know, comment, and then ask him, did Bush say why he stymied and stifled that investigation? I mean, that begs the question, why wouldn't you want to investigate the biggest terrorist attack of all time, the same act that caused us to go to war in two different countries and spend billions and billions of dollars?
I have to agree with you there, and I thank you for the call, Daryl. In fact, in 9/11 Chronicles Truth Rising, when Luke does get a hold of McCain, and he's talking to him about the 9/11 Commission, and he says, well, the 9/11 commissioners themselves said they were set up to fail. And you can see the look on McCain's face. He's like, oh, you do know that. Well, you got me there. So that's on YouTube. And, of course, you can get a hard copy over at Infowars.com right now. All right, let's go to Ricky all the way from Taiwan. Ricky, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about an idea for how to fight this New World Order.
Okay. You still with us, Ricky? We're going to have to drop him.
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, you hear me?
Now I can.
Yeah,
yes.
It's about identifying the enemy. And, you know, it's like everybody just always says, you know, they or the New World Order or, you know, the powers that be or whatever. But and certain people like We Are Change, you know, they get out there and confront a lot of people and stuff. But, you know, I think it's time to start putting some names and faces to the people who are doing the things. Like we are changes in the right direction, but there's something to help them. And this is the idea to like have a database or something of people in there and what they've done and things that you can confront them about. Because like I've seen We Are Change when they do confront people, and some good people they've confronted, like Richard Haass and even Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they sort of I've seen a lot of opportunities where they kind of waste the question and they don't get they ask Richard Haass about why does the FBI not list Bin Laden as his wanted crime for 9/11?
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know if there was somewhere you could. You know, if they could somebody could get together and build a database of people and names and faces and what they've done, and maybe like a top 10 list of
questions.
Well,
maybe we need like a globalelite.org or something. I have to agree with you. I mean, a lot of the times I'll get a call from somebody in We Are Change when they're about to go confront somebody, and they ask me what questions they should ask. And sometimes I have a good question. Sometimes I don't. I'm one of those big firm believers in you catch more flies with honey. So often when I approach these guys, and it's been a while, I haven't had a camera in a while, you know, I try to ask something not from a softball perspective, but one that they can relate to so I can get a real honest answer. I definitely think that more people should put websites out there. It's Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We thank you for the call. TruthNews.us. Through your calls here at the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in all week for Alex Jones. Tomorrow we're going to have a guest host with myself in studio, Bob Dacey. I've done his local access Austin show many a times. A little bit more of a refined viewpoint from him. I'm kind of all over the place. I'm sure Mr. Dacey will bring a nice balance to the show. Now, before we go back to your calls, I do want to thank a couple of our great sponsors. They make this show possible. MySolarBackup.com. The number is 877-327-0365. That's MySolarBackup.com. No mystery here, folks. It's solar power. It actually works. It cuts down your bills. Many people are using solar power right now. I mean, Jesse Ventura basically powers his entire Mexican home from solar. So if you're interested in lowering your electric bill, getting your dependency away from the grid, MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365. And then, of course, AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is really the only water I drink out here. Makes about 8 gallons a day. It's absolutely delicious. And here's the best part. It pulls the water from the air. So you don't have to have a rig if, like me, you have rusty water. I can't even drink the water at my house because there's rust particles in it. You don't have to worry because this pulls the water out of the air, makes about 8 gallons a day, filters it, gets all the fluoride and disgusting out. It's EcolaBlue.com. That's EcolaBlue.com or call the toll-free number at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. All right, let's jump right back into your calls. Let's go to Greg in Florida. Greg, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Thank you, Mr. McGovern, for your service to this country, and thank you even more for your patriotism since then and remembering to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Thank you. Mr. Burmis, thank you very much for your movies. Loose Change opened my eyes to a whole new world. I just wanted to say that I really hope you're right about the coming crisis, that it's just going to be an economic one, because my fears are far greater than that. I take General Colin Powell very seriously at his word, including Mr. Biden as well. And it's also should say that the 1st Army Brigade is back from Iraq. They're specialized in training urban warfare and disarming citizens, civilians. They spent the last 6 years in Iraq, and they're now training in, I believe it was St. Louis, Missouri. And I think it's just if you start adding up all the things going on, I think there's a lot worse stuff going on than
What do you see? Do you think that they're going to pull a false flag event, a military-type style black op, and then release the troops? I mean, posse comitatus is done. I think we learned that from the Katrina disaster when we were disarmed down in New Orleans. So, you know, they've passed further legislation. I mean, that is a possibility. It's not one that we've harped on this program, given the current economic situation. But that's what you're leaning towards, right? You think that's what this might be?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid so.
Well, you know what? It's not like you're saying that out of the blue. They tend to like to attack in the beginning of administrations. Gives them more plausible deniability. It says that they're caught by surprise. That's a possibility. But I want to point this out, and I thank you for the call. You know, Bush is all over the media saying that his most important achievement as president was keeping the country safe after 9/11. And the most important job the next president is going to have is to protect the American people from another attack. Again, going along with the same promotion, see these nexus points from the media, that Newsweek is saying, you know, Obama's Cheney dilemma, keep all the power. So I'm not quite sure that's what's going to happen. It's a possibility. I really think that this economic crisis is going to be enough for them to reshape the world and the economic powers, you know, reshape into their North American Union, possibly their Eurasian Union, without a false flag event. I could be wrong. All right, let's go to Paul in Germany. Paul, what's on your mind?
Yes, hey, Paul. Jason. Jason, first and foremost, you woke me up. Everything that I know now, I owe to you. But straight on to my comment. I am in the Army presently in Germany, and I got to say that right now, I can tell you from being on the inside that conscription started right now, but the way they're doing it is they're bringing kids in with college money. They offer all these high school kids straight out of high school all this college money, and I can tell you, sitting in a foxhole next to somebody who says, I'm just here for the college money, isn't somebody I want watching my back.
Yeah, that must be straining on you, because this is somebody that really didn't want to be in basic training, that might not even go through a full basic training, that never really wanted to be in any kind of combat, and all of a sudden this is the guy that's watching your back. But, you know, to the elitists, this is just another body, another warm body to absorb bullets or fire at somebody else. It's literally what they say in their policy papers. We're chattel. We're cheap. I'm sorry, we're sheeple. We're chattel. We're nothing more to them. We're going to come back to your call, Paul, on the other side. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, TruthNews.us, PrisonPlanet.tv. Actually, less than 10 hours over at eBay on the Tyranny Crusher 1 Bullhorn. Own a piece of history. Some of you fat-pocketed listeners out there, I hope somebody does really take it home. This is a great vinyl piece, a piece of history, a nice little item, and a way to help us out here over at Infowars.com, expand the office. I mean, if you watch on PrisonPlanet.tv, my studio that I'm in right here, the Alex Jones studio, is about half the size of the old office. I mean, straight up. I mean, it's about the size of when you walked into the room. I'd say that the actual radio booth would have only been about 1/4 this size. So we are expanding. Things are getting better. And a lot of that is in thanks to you and our great sponsors like eFoods Direct. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 1-800-409-5633. That's 1-800-409-5633. There's really nothing to this, folks. There's a possibility of a food shortage with the economy in the gutter. God knows. It's always nice to have an insurance policy. Storable foods are that insurance policy. You can get cheap, good, edible, delicious, storable foods over at eFoodsDirect.com right now or call 1-800-409-5633. All right, we're going to keep blitzing through your calls. We've got Paul in Germany still on the line. Paul, why don't you finish up your point?
My point was just basically that the whole idea of a conscription isn't, I mean, they're, like, just recently, they just passed a new GI Bill for paying for their college. It takes effect on August 1st. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's basically free 4 years of college that they pay you to go to. So, I mean, a high school kid would be retarded not to jump on that. You do 3 years in the Army, and they pay for 4 years of college. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a great deal, but the problem that I have with it is that I've got these, you know, 18-year-old straight out of high school kids now watching my back who are just there for the college money, and that scares me. I got a wife and a kid, and you know, I want people watching my back that want to be there.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's another problem with that, in that let's say we do have conscription. You know, I think one of the reasons that they gave us a black president is because in Vietnam they were drafting young black men the majority of the time, and I think that that's going to happen again. But I feel like a lot of those people who get drafted will feel like, you know, there's a new sense of service, a new sense of nationalism, because they're going to be able to, quote unquote, relate with the new president. And I think it's a scam on that end. I thank you for the call, Paul. Let's jump to Chris in Colorado. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
And, you got it.
Yeah, I appreciate all you're doing and filling in for Alex, and enjoyed Fabled Enemies.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it really filled in a lot of the missing points, like from Loose Change. I guess you just didn't have time to go into it. But,
yeah, I mean, Loose Change, if you look at all the series of movies, I mean, the first one's an hour. We took the best 30 minutes out of that. We made a 90-minute picture. We took probably the best 20 or 30 minutes out of that second edition and put it into a two-hour picture, Loose Change, and yet we still weren't able to go over a lot of the nexus points that I put in Fabled Enemies, which is an hour and 42-minute film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I was calling about Ray McGovern. I have the most enormous respect for him and what he's done and how vocal he's been. But I'm a little disappointed in how hopeful he is for Obama.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what? You had to see that. I mean, even Mike Rivera, who was on earlier, was really, behind this Obama pick for presidency. He was on Genesis Network promoting it all the time. So, you know, people, you got to understand, first of all, people have their blind spots, and myself included. And I see Rivera coming along a little quicker than McGovern. You know, obviously, I think that Rivera felt like it was a huge kick to the spine when Rahm Emanuel was put in as chief of staff, and he started to see the bigger picture right away. And I think what's waking up McGovern more than anything, more than people calling him in and saying once CIA, always CIA, or talking about the Bohemian Grove, is the fact that Obama is now on record after being elected as saying is he's going to put more troops into Afghanistan. And when you're talking to Mr. McGovern, I think that the way to relate to him best is military conflicts. And I think that's what's going to be waking him up. Like I said, I have great hopes that 2 months down the line, when some of this stuff does go down, if Obama is not a positive influence in this country, that he will rejoin us on the program and admit those mistakes.
I hope so. And one of the ironies about going back to Afghanistan is, you know, that Brzezinski is, he said publicly that he, was involved in the funding and training of these guys who we know call Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, I mean, he basically took the Mujahideen. I mean, he took the Mujahideen, he radicalized them,
right.
He wrote books about it, the Grand Chessboard, it's his policy. He was on the advisory board for Obama. He's got a couple of kids, that one's supposedly a Democrat, the one on MSNBC, of course, and then the other one's a Republican who worked on the McCain campaign, of course.
Right.
And,
you
know, that's an intelligence-based family above something like the CIA or the NSA.
Right.
You know, I mean, I really feel like Brzezinski is really something out of a Bond movie supervillain. I mean, he really, like, I talk like this, and everything I say, you will hang on my word. And yes, I go to Bilderberg meeting, but nothing is bad. We do good things there. So Brzezinski's really a genius, and he's placed himself in these positions where only the alternative media is talking about him in a negative light. The mainstream media fawns over him like he's some kind of a god. And I think that's a big problem, and I think that's something that Mary McGovern may even come around to as well, that Brzezinski is not a level-headed good guy. I thank you for the call, Chris. Let's jump to Jim in Chicago. Jim, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I just want to start off with, you guys are real American heroes, and I've just been awake for the past couple months, so I'm new to this, so I'm not going to pretend my I know as much as you guys, but I really, really got to argue with you about the racial tension. You know, I live in Chicago here, and I can tell you right now there's racial tension. And
I think there is some racial tension. I'm not saying racism has left the country. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm from New York, man. You go down to the city, it's, you know, gook this, spick that. I mean, people just will say the most outrageous, outlandish, racist things. But what I'm saying is that I don't see the organization of a group like the Ku Klux Klan or, you know, some of these other groups to the point where we're going to have, like, you know, military confrontations in the street or even confrontations between, you know, the whites and the other races and the whites that take their side. I don't see it on that level. Will you see, lynchings, or will you see some racially motivated crime? Sure, especially in an urban area like Chicago. Continue.
Well, I can't speak for other cities, because I'm not that well traveled. But in Chicago, every neighborhood is segregated by, not only race, but just if you're Irish or Polish or whatever. I mean, it's real small neighborhoods, and I could tell you, my biggest fear. I mean, I know there's a lot of things to be scared of, but if you know, if it, even if the economy just gets bad and there's going to be finger-pointing going on, let alone an assassination, I mean, I really, really believe that Chicago would be, you know, they'd have to bring the military in because there would just be nonstop killing. I mean, just it would never end because, I mean, I know people that are cops and just some of the stuff that I've known, you know, that I didn't think of much before until I learned about this, but just how, you know, some of these, you know, people in the, you know, in the black neighborhood.
Well, I'll just say this.
By cops, but I mean, I could guarantee that Chicago would need the National Guard to come in.
Elites want that. I mean, that's part of the plan, man, is that they want riots. They want physical violence and upheaval so that they can send troops into these large urban areas and then even regroup people into these large urban areas under military control. I suggest you check out 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. Goes into this paradigm a little bit during the end, and then of course Endgame. I thank you for the call, Jim. There's a new caller, and I understand that, man. If you're in any big city, maybe not so much. You know, California's a little bit different. LA's so close to everything. Yeah, you have like the slums in LA or whatever, but it's not. I guess I would say it's not as racially divided as say a New York City is. You know, New York. I mean, you got Chinatown. You literally have these sections where all the people speak are Korean. You know, you have a lot of machismo on the Italian end of town. You know, there are those Irish neighborhoods. So I see where he's coming from. But I just, on the starting the race war, someone calling in to start a race war, I don't see that happening in any way, shape, or form. All right, let's go to Casey in California. Casey, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jay, it's nice to talk with you. I just want to say, look at my computer right now. And June 19th of 2007, I got an email from one of my sales guys, and it was your movie, Loose Change, and I just want to say that day pretty much changed my whole thoughts on everything once my eyes opened up. It was a pretty big awakening. Just want to make a couple points here in terms of what people can do to get the voice out or the word out besides just trying to tell people, because when you tell people, you know, they think you're some nut job, whatever. But a couple things here. If you got money and you're into fighting for the cause, some things you could do would be to, like, rent a plane and fly a banner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're out here in California, and they do that all day long up and down the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to do would be make stickers. I know, like you said, you pass out DVDs when you go to concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Posters, banners, whatnot. Another idea is bed sheets. You can go to the Salvation Army, get bed sheets, get Kansas spray paint, hang those puppies around town. Another cheap one is the back of semi-trucks. 18-wheelers, you know how they get real dusty on the roll-up gates on the back? You can write your ideas or your voice your opinions on those. Doesn't cost you a penny. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, like I've heard before, is, you know, on every piece of money or dollar bill that you get, just write what you can to try to inform these people.
And that's the guerrilla info war. That's how we're effective. And, you know, even if you don't need, you need stickers to be made up. I mean, we sell stickers here at InfoWars. You know, there's Loose Change stickers out there. I think the packs are 10 are like $4.95. So, you know, you can get them printed up and you can even buy them in bulk really, really cheap. And I feel like you put those on light poles, you put them on stop signs, you put them all over where people, the stop signs are the best because you actually have to stop at a stop sign and it's right on the front. So whether or not you're consciously absorbing it, you're getting the website there. And when you visit it, it's something will click in your brain that you've been introduced to it before. So I'm all about getting people out into the street. And, you know, it's not just about emailing people links to Loose Change and Fabled Enemies, although that worked in your case. It's also about getting in the streets and relating to people. I thank you for the call, Casey. Let's go to PJ in Texas. PJ, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me on your show.
You got it.
I'm calling in response to an earlier caller today, and he made kind of a silly comment, and I just think that it's important to comment back on that, but he made a comment that who's really,
did we drop him? PJ, you still there?
Okay. Obama showing that they're racist, and I think really, you know, through the history of black voters, 100% of those voters have been voting for white presidents, and I mean, I think history speaks for itself. We know that that's a fact, and in the last Bush election, the Republicans made a big deal because 14% of black Americans voted for Bush, which was a gain of 6%, which shows that about 90 had voted for Al Gore and a little bit less voted for Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the real thing here is that black Americans vote for Democrats. And the reason I say this is important is I think for the movement, it's really important to distance ourselves from the underlying you could call it racism, but maybe the loss of status and power that some white Americans are feeling, you know, with a black president, or with, you know, folks immigrating to this country, et cetera. It's real important to distance ourselves from that and to make sure that the drive of this movement is based on the Constitution and the rule of law, and not on, you know, elements of dissatisfaction because the demographic of the country is changing, because that's the nature of the country. It's changed, you know, from Native Americans to Puritans, you know, and then from there to an influx of Italians, Irish, Catholic folks, Germans, things like that. The country's constantly changing, and I think regardless of what anyone's race is, I think we really need to make the focus, you know, on what our country is based on, which is the Constitution.
I agree 110%, 110% that we should be focused on the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and these are splinter issues that are often used to divide us, and, it, you know, it's order out of chaos. It's to divide and conquer us. They, you know, they bring these racists in as, you know, fronts to say that they're part of this movement, and they're not part of this movement. They have a small sect of followers that are completely and totally mentally ill, that want to blame all the problems on one group or another based on their race, and again, not on what they've done, not the content of their character, but the color of their skin or their religion. And it's absolutely ridiculous. We do need to focus on the fact that this is the great melting pot, that race has nothing to do with us and to do with, you know, us as a nation, and that our commonality comes from our freedoms that are only in this country, our pieces of paper, the Constitution and Bill of Rights. I couldn't agree more. Let's jump to their next caller. Let's go to Scott in California. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hello, Jason. Thank you for showing up.
You got it.
Hey, my youngest boy got back from Afghanistan, and he was hanging out at the University of California, and called me up very excitedly one night and told me to watch Loose Change. This was several years ago, right when mm-hmm. it first came out, and that's what did it. And anyway, what I want to talk about is executive orders and the true powers of the president. And I'd like to explain it in terms of the Japanese Internment Act.
Sure.
So, okay, this is real important for these coming times. As I've heard that, you know, Obama's going to start ruling through executive orders. But if you just read the executive order, it's 9066. And that was Roosevelt with the, you know, the pulling away offspring of enemy aliens from, you know, from enemy countries from the coastal areas.
Yeah, this is when we put all the Japanese citizens in internment camps during World War II.
Yes, but if you just read the first part, and it says this executive order modifies public law, blah, 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 like three or four public laws, right? And then you read the order, and it sounds like, it reads like, oh, he's got this authority, but if you go back and look at those public laws, they only apply in very narrow areas. Like, you know, one of them was a basketball-sized area in Guam, right? And it's these territories and possessions is where these public laws applied. And, you know, nobody called them on it, man. They went, this guy Kirimatsu, Japanese-American guy, attorney, and he went in as a United States citizen, you know, whining about this, and then went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they shot him down. But all he had to say was that that these executive orders lacked venue on the soil of California.
Yeah, but don't you think they just like I mentioned it earlier today, don't you think they bully and push and do whatever they want no matter what, and especially with executive orders? I mean, I expect Obama's administration to come out of the gate with two or three just unbelievable executive orders, you know, tyrannical executive orders that the media will spin as a positive for this country.
Doesn't matter. All you have to do is look at what public law that he's springing his executive order off of and find out where it applies. And I have seen people go into court on, well, you know, you're talking about Americans being free, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, in Chisholm versus Georgia, Supreme Court in 1793, they said that Americans are the sovereign.
All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. I am Jason Burmes, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
sitting in traffic, listening to the radio.
Final segment of the Alex Jones Show, Wednesday, January 14th, 2009. And really your last chance to bid on Tyranny Crusher 1, Alex's iconic bullhorns, going for a little over 50 G's right now on eBay. We'll know who has it tomorrow, folks, and we'll probably announce that on air after we get all the legalities out of the way. Of course, you know, you have the fake bidders up there, and then you have the real bidders that are putting up some serious scratch, but all of it goes right back into the info war. And Alex Jones's Info Warrior Studios, I mean, it's just great to be here. I want to thank him again for allowing me to sit in all week. We have Bob Dacey riding shotgun with me tomorrow. Tons of great guests. If you missed anything today, we'll be rebroadcasting in about 4 minutes over at Infowars.com, and you can listen to mine and Michael Rivero's interview, the Ray McGovern interview, or just all the callers we've been taking on just about every single subject you can imagine. And we were just talking about executive orders and constitutional law. The problem is that, you know, common law, constitutional law, once again, the powers that be have all these resources and unlimited supply of money. And so they're going to take it to you whether or not you're in the right. And unfortunately, the little guy doesn't always win. Sometimes the little guy is eviscerated, and that happens more often than not, whether he's in the right or not. All right, let's jump to Adam in Wisconsin. Adam, what's on your mind?
Oh, hey. Whoa. Hey, Jason. Thanks a lot for everything. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just have kind of a comment about the guy that called from Chicago. I'm not too far away from there myself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys that think some type of military thing is coming down, I just don't see it happening. Just
okay.
Because of it's always, they're always our savior. They're always here to help us. They don't come in and attack us. I mean, they do, but they don't come in and attack us, and we know it's them.
Well, I think that they're going to have to, if they want to come in, it'll be posing as a savior and some
exactly.
kind of, and it'll have to be some kind of a riot that erupts there. I don't think that they're just going to come in and jackboot
exactly.
the citizens. That's what I was trying to say to the guy. You know, it's just like when they talk about a race war in this country. No, there won't be a race war. There might be some riots incited by racists, and
but
then
now,
the military
on,
comes
one
in.
Second.
Yeah. Sure.
My point is a biological. Whether it's, see, I don't believe, I think they know that we're hip to this whole false flag thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're not stupid. Obviously, these are some of the smartest people there is.
Yep.
Okay? So, just for common sense, say somebody got sick over in Germany or Japan or whatever it was and came over on a flight over mm-hmm. here. We have an epidemic and an outbreak. Now, it does cause riots, but it truly doesn't, it's not us against the police. It's for our own safety. It's keeping us safe to put us in internment camps. It's keeping us safe to keep us away from the quarantine areas.
Exactly. I'm
you
with you 100%,
get where I'm
man. Yeah, absolutely. They have to first create the problem and have the problem happen without the military coming in before they can pose as the saviors and basically round us up, vaccinate us, or put us into small compact cities. I agree 100%. Let's go to John in New York. John, what's on your mind?
Thanks for everything you guys do. I think people have to be really aware of the difference between a constitutional convention and just an amendment to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's out on Prison Planet. There's an article out there, Global Constitution Convention dealt a defeat in Ohio. What they're trying to do is open up the whole Constitution, get people like Pelosi, Clinton, Biden in a room, and rewrite the Constitution. That's what they can do at a constitutional convention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I wish I had more time to give you, but call in tomorrow. We'll take callers. It's the Alex Jones Show, folks. You can go to Infowars.com and check out the refeed right now. PrisonPlanet.tv, TruthNews.us.